welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good times. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. We have a loaded show today. Andy Dix on, and David Alan Greer's on, and Lee Majors is on, and Eric Stromer's going to be here. We're going to answer home improvement questions. So if you want to talk, now's the time. Yes, Nate.
Just Andy Dick makes an unloaded show.
Very true. Teresa Strasser.
Adam Carolla.
Good morning to you.
Right back at you.
Good morning to you, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser and Big O'Brien.
Yo!
All right. Now, well, a couple things. One is I just looked up and saw that Alvin the Chipmunk movie commercial. I saw a commercial last night, and I thought there's never been a movie I wanted to see less. That movie seems like it was made in 1997, and they're just releasing it. They have the Alvin, you know, when the chipmunks start rapping.
Yeah.
And start singing and start taking showers in the dishwasher. It's all over. Now, how do they do that? I know they speed up the voice and get that sound. Does that mean when they go into record Alvin and the Chipmunks that the guys that are singing and then sped up must initially sing like, don't you wish your boyfriend, no, don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? And then they speed it up? Because if they just speed up regular, if I'm going like this and I'm talking like this and they speed me up to sound like a chipmunk, I'm going to be going at hyper speed, right?
Plus the movie would be shorter.
That's a good point. Be a 9-minute movie.
Yeah, be a 9-minute movie.
Which would be a good thing. Paul Bryan, do you know anything about that?
In the old days, I'm sure that's what they had to do, but now you can do crazy things with computers, man.
All right. So
the thing that concerns me is that you saw an Alvin and the Chipmunks commercial, and unless this was in the commercial, that the first thing you thought of was, don't you wish your boyfriend was a freak like me? Please tell me that they actually sing that, and that's not what just popped into your head.
Whenever they do those movies,
yeah,
it always takes them like 2 years to do them because there's a bunch of weird special effects and CGI stuff, right, and all animation or what have you. And they always pick a song that is about 6 months old at the time that they do the movie that's really hot, some dance, some something. And then by the time the movie hits the theaters, usually because it's horrible, and then they shelf it for 6 months and they keep pushing it off, and then it's delayed a year, and it took a year to get all the graphics and CGI work done and everything. So then when it comes out, it's a song that we got tired of a year ago.
Well, I actually never got tired of Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Sick Like Me or a Freak Like Me. I used to blare that whenever I would play with my wife in the car and go, this is what's missing.
Well, I
didn't help.
Even if you love the song, it still becomes dated when the stuff. I can't remember if that song's in it or not. I just saw the trailer for the movie and thought, I never want to see 10 seconds of this movie. Or I've now seen the whole movie.
What about if they did a dragon movie?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Or maybe Taboo 4.
I don't know. See, the chipmunks always bring back the bad memory of Chip and or Dale.
Yes.
I just can't help but think of that. So
I'm not. And by the way, I don't know that kids know from chipmunks anymore. I feel like we knew what chipmunks were growing up. I don't know about chipmunks. I don't know if my kids are going to know. I think they'll know like coyotes, badgers, and skunks. I don't know if they'll know chipmunks.
Well,
where do chipmunks hang out? There's no chipmunks out here, are there?
I know two of the most popular video characters. One would be an Italian house painter. So in essence, I kind of work with him.
Mario?
Except, yeah. You know, a guy who
paints houses.
Builds houses, swings a hammer,
right,
that guy. So, except he's little. So, but right. I understand that character. What exactly is a hedgehog besides that guy that can do himself?
Decent point. I don't know if this must be a West Coast thing. I don't think we have chipmunks out here. We have taggers,
squirrels,
gangbangers, things like that. Chipmunks, yeah, we have squirrels.
Raccoon.
I've posed this squirrel question once. I'll bring it up again. I could go for a good dragon movie this weekend. Oh, yes, out of
context. You love dragon movies.
Let me say something.
What exactly is a good dragon movie
every
in context?
Every 3 years, a dragon movie comes out and loses $20 billion at the box office. How does that pitch get How in 2007 does the next Dragon movie get made? I know one has to be made by law, like every 18 months, but how do you pitch that movie to the guy who just saw the last five lose $800 billion? Here's my squirrel chipmunk question for you. I have lived in the valley here for 40 years. I have seen 4 billion squirrels. Never seen one defecate.
Oh, I don't think I have either.
Never stepped in squirrel crap. Never had it on the hood of my car. Never seen it defecate. Now, I have seen 7 goats in my life and never not
right,
seen
sure.
them defecate. If I look at
rabbits.
A goat, he begins defecating. Rabbits, horses.
Rabbits are almost like those paintball guns. You just turn around and squeeze them at your enemy.
I've seen like... You know, I've seen 100 horses in my life, and every third one I've seen is defecating. I've seen 500 million squirrels. I've seen them running across the... I've seen them in the trees. And birds crap all the time. If you leave your car out in the open, you don't cover it, park it in the garage or what have you, within 2 days, it's going to be covered with bird crap.
Right.
What's with the squirrels? And I've seen zillions of squirrels. I see them all over the place, all the time. Now, when your car gets crapped on, it's not because the birds are flying by and crapping on it most of the time. It's that they're up on a tree branch above it, because if you look down underneath the tree branch, you'll see where your car was. You'll see a pile of crap sometimes. So point is where is the squirrel crap? What does it look like? Are we mistaking it for something? You never see the squirrel. You're never driving down the street and see a squirrel squatting one on the side of the thing.
I've seen a lot in my day, too.
I've never seen a squirrel defecate. Don't know what it looks like. Don't know if they do it when they're on the run or up in the tree or down on the ground. Do they bury it? Never seen it. Never.
Now, because you've never seen it, are you now intrigued with it? Must you see a squirrel defecate?
I must.
I understand. No, yeah. I understand completely.
If somebody has a pet squirrel, I would like to observe it.
You know, it would be really cute if they took their little squirrel paws and they wiped themselves. We don't know.
I don't know that they got that kind of range. I mean...
It's a long way back.
I'm trying to think. It's a pretty good hike for that squirrel paw to get back to
the
squirrel ass.
It's like Ralphie May. Being able to clean himself.
No.
I just don't think it can be done.
But is it like bird poop or is it more like...
I would imagine it to be bunny poop, but nobody knows because nobody's actually ever witnessed a squirrel crapping or seen squirrel crap and shouldn't. Just by all logic, with the millions of squirrels running around all the trees and your car parked under them that gets the bird crap on them, shouldn't there just be squirrel crap on your car every other whatever?
There should, but if you do imagine bunnies, and that's one of the more interesting aspects of the Adam Carolla show is... I would never imagine squirrel crap ever under any circumstances, and now I must see it happen or die.
Yes.
But I say you put a bounty out on a videotape.
Ah.
I put a bounty out on a DVD for $100. Pissed me off that Dawson had it in his office.
Right.
But still, I put a bounty out. What you want to do is get some guy to videotape.
Mm-hmm.
A squirrel pooping rather than have a squirrel in our office for days with us staring at its rectum.
Gotta be a YouTube video of a squirrel crapping. I'm just saying, I want to see it, and I want the squirrel crap. You know what? I step in dog crap, I'm not happy. Step in cow crap, not happy. Squirrel crap would be a welcome relief. I'd step in squirrel crap and go, wow, ruined a pair of loafers, but this is awesome. This is great stuff. Maybe they don't crap. You know, I have a theory that the reason they run out in front of your car, you're just driving down the street and they just run out in front of you.
They gotta go.
Full of crap.
Maybe they're not
actually.
Want to
die. If you didn't crap for 9 years, T, you'd dive in front of a car, wouldn't
Harry
you?
Harry Carey. Yeah, let's get this thing over with. I feel bloated.
I mean, think that we say that their cheeks are filled with nuts.
Mm.
But that could be bull.
Yeah, maybe they're storing it.
Maybe they're storing it.
I don't know. It's funny to me. You know, God's creatures as one day, Paul Bryan, you have to remind me to make this list. I need a defecating pecking order.
Right.
God's creatures pecking order. Dogs would definitely be near the bottom of the list because what dogs do is they go, you know, I'll walk my dog Molly and I'll go, hey, Molly, there's a little break in traffic. No women pushing a stroller. We got a little open area here. How about you do a little Duke in between the lawns, you know, little side road here, a little something. No can do. I'm going to wait till we hit the finely manicured lawn and the chick pushing the triplets comes by and strikes up a conversation with the wife. Now I'll drop a deuce.
That, you personally or Molly?
I'll drop the deuce and then Molly will in kind.
Because I was going to say one, you're kind of, it's an embarrassing situation. The other one where Adam actually takes down his pants and goes, excuse me, nice lady with the stroller, got to drop one.
Molly likes to wait for an audience and likes to do it on a golf course. She doesn't want to do it in the woods, you know. So that would be very low on my my Duke pecking order. Very high on my Duke pecking order, cats. People give cats a ton of crap. I don't like cats, this, then, that, and the other about cats and pets and everything else. You find me another pet that lets itself out, goes and digs a hole, craps and buries it, and comes back into the house. There's not too many of those pets out animals. There, people.
I have a cousin in Philly who can do that.
One of the, keep them on a long leash. The thing about pets, one of the hassles of having a pet is you have to clean up what the pet does, where the pet does it. If you have a parrot, that's fine. You have to clean out the parrot cage. Right. And if you have a dog, that's fine. You have to go clean out the backyard. Cat, let itself out, find a little dirt, make its thing, cover it up, and come back in the house. That's pretty high up there. Now, there's horses. I don't like horses. You see, any animal that can drop a deuce in a full gallop, I'm not a fan of. That's trouble. Because that means I don't know when you're going.
Right.
If you can go when you're sprinting, you show me a guy can do a Duke at a full sprint, I'll show you a guy I'm frightened by.
I've only seen that in the human species once, and that was the runner Mary Decker.
Oh, remember? But she did not drop a deuce. There was deuce involved, but it wasn't dropping as much as just gravity had taken hold.
A magical moment in sports.
I'm no gynecologist, but that spells yeast infection if I've ever heard of it. But
you're not just trying to live that one down.
I'm going to make myself. So the thing about like horses is, you know, if you ever get one of those carriages that go around Central Park.
Yeah.
A horse carousel. Will be trotting around. No, not the carousel. I'm talking about the carriage.
Yeah, or the carriage.
That horse will be dropping apples as it's galloping right down the middle of Central Park.
The romantic thing in the world, by the way.
I know, and you're supposed to be having a romantic
moment.
It's
a New York cab driver, champagne. First of all, it's a New York cab driver who now has a whip. Mm. Okay, he was ass to begin with. Now he's got a whip that he's not afraid to use. He's got a horse that dukes into a bag.
Right.
They're not allowed to drop it on the street, so you carry it with you.
Yes.
And then he keeps turning back to you to point out something that he thinks will get him an extra tip, but he's got a whip and poop.
Yeah,
you
it's
really
kind
have
of,
to work hard
it's
for
be
a
nice.
Tip.
Yeah, $40 for champagne, and there's a burlap sack full of horse apples that'll be 4 feet in front of your nose the entire time you're having this romantic
And then the
trip.
Son of a bitch has the nerve to say no smoking to me.
Wow.
You got a horse's ass in my face in action, and you say no smoking to me?
Well, I think we're really overlooking frogs. I think they're the antithesis of horses, because don't they excrete most of their waste through the skin?
Interesting. That might catapult them to the top of my animal defecation list.
Oh, I'm grossed out now.
Birds way down. Birds are way down. Not only, I'll tell you why. First off, if the stuff came out like goat crap or like rabbit crap and it hit your car windshield, it would bounce right off.
Right.
Or hit the hood of your car, it would bounce right off. This stuff comes out like a loogie and it spreads all over the place and penetrates any paint and any surface. And it's white, for the love of Christ, or worse, any berry color that the birds have been feasting on that afternoon. But seagulls got to be up there, and you're literally being dive bombed. There's no getting out of the way of something. You know, it'd be nice, like, if birds just crapped in their nest, I'd have no quarrel.
Yeah.
With them. But they fly around at 80 miles an hour and toss Duke everywhere.
Who hasn't
liquefied?
Who hasn't been pooped on by a bird? Have you been pooped on your head?
Yes.
It's horribly humiliating.
And they say that it's lucky? For who exactly? My
really?
Dry cleaner?
Everyone watching.
All right, so we got birds are way down there on
the
list.
But the frog thing kind of throws me now, because do you remember that big thing that came out about the Rocky Mountain spotted toad, and that if you'd lick its back, you would hallucinate?
Yeah. It's always been around, right?
You know how many frogs I've licked?
Ah.
And now I find out they're excreting?
Yeah.
They do excrete.
Even I don't want to kiss me now.
You got to lick a lot of frogs before you meet your prince, right, Bonaducci?
Before you meet your really good high.
Yeah. Trying to think. The best, I'll tell you, here's one of my criteria for knowing it's a good crap animal. See, some animals are good and bad simultaneously. Like a horse is bad because it can trot at 40 miles an hour and take a duke. That's bad. On the other hand, I'm okay with any animal where I can actually pick up their duke and throw it at somebody in life.
Right.
And the joke's on the person I hit it with. For some reason, the joke's not on you. Paul Bryan could crap into my hand. If I threw it at Bonaducci, I'd be the one laughing. That's a good one. Let's eat.
Good bit.
Do you have anything cooking?
I'm just saying, cows... Cows are good for that reason, and horses are good, and rabbits, even though they're high-volume creatures, we used to have them, and we would literally sweep the duke up. I mean, you literally just sweep it up like gravel. Yeah, I'm going to make that list. I'm going to work on that list.
I had no idea when I woke up this morning that we'd be discussing this.
I had no idea when the show started we'd be discussing this. That's the difference between us. Hey, good news, everybody. Eric Stromer, hunky. Eric Stromer from Over Your Head on HGTV. And by the way, you know, you think about those shows, like you think, those home improvement shows. All right. And then you realize half of America are addicted to these shows. And then it struck me the other day when we spoke to the candidates, and not we, but when whoever spoke to the candidates and said, what are your favorite TV shows?
Right.
And half of them said the home improvement shows. Makes you realize how big that genre is.
It's huge. In fact, Eric's show does a gigantic number for cable.
Yeah.
He gets big numbers.
Yeah, I mean, you hear all about your Jon Stewarts of the world, but the reality is those guys on those home improvement shows, probably better known, albeit probably by the red states.
Right.
But still, they got money and they got votes. Eric Stromer from Over Your Head on HGTV is coming in. We're going to do your home improvement questions next. 866-901-ADAM. Home improvement next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now a word from the brains behind the whole operation, Program Director Jack Silver.
Shake that ass for me. Shake that ass for me. What up, peeps? Today, the Ace Man fields your home improvement questions with an assist from HGTV's Eric Stromer. We'll talk to the $6 million man, Lee Majors. An all-new Hugh Hauser adventure. And in studio, Andy Dick and David Allen Greer. Oh, before I go, hey, douche man, if you need a stunt penis for your penthouse photo shoot, give Blackjack a call. Wait, can you Photoshop out gray pubes?
Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Salt of the earth, Eric Stromer in studio.
You're very kind.
I got a call from somebody the other day, needed a referral for a good general contractor, and I said, I don't know any. Everyone thinks I know general contractors.
I heard about that.
I don't know any because I'm my general contractor. And then they go, how about one of your guys? And I go, oh, they are horrible. And they go, they always go, what do you mean? Your house is great. It's awesome. What are you talking about? I go, yes, because I lean over those guys and yell at them and tell them, no, 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 the drill does not go in your ear, Gary. It goes onto the wood. People have no idea how bad most carpenters are. And if they're good, they're always busy, right, Eric?
Right, you're absolutely right. And also, you do have, I mean, I have a guy now working with me on my home, and I think it's micromanaging problems, you know, because you don't want to let somebody go and do it of their own volition. You want to be their supervisor because you know what works and what doesn't, and they maybe will take shortcuts that you don't necessarily agree with. So it's about letting go and letting somebody else make the thing happen or not.
Well, in the white-collar world, when somebody goes off in the wrong direction, what they've wasted is a couple of your hours and a pile of paper.
Correct.
In construction, when people go off in the wrong direction, they build things that need to be torn down.
Correct.
I mean, they yeah. install windows upside down. Right. They put down half-inch subflooring instead of three-quarter-inch subflooring. Right. I mean, there are mistakes that don't involve some, you know, like I said, in the white-collar world, there's a, hey, Bert, no, you screwed up the Jackson account. We're going to have to delete all this off the computer. Well, right. in the construction world, you have to literally get out crowbars and start tearing stuff down that people have screwed up. And sometimes it gets even bigger. Concrete dries in the right. wrong place, oh, in the wrong bad. Shape, and it goes south. It's just as much work to undo it. There's no delete on the construction
I'm
computer.
I'm really nervous right now.
You're having that deck done?
Well, I bought a condominium that's three floors of all Navajo white because people want to decorate their own home. So that's a thing now, all white walls. So the interior decorator that my wife used to use, I said, could you make this not all white? And then I picked a general contractor and I said, could you put a whole yard, including a jacuzzi and an outdoor movie theater on my roof? And he said, yes. And they were all delivered by crane yesterday and they're all just sitting up on my roof and I haven't looked at any of it. I just said, no, you know, you came well recommended. You just do it and put everything where you think it belongs. And I haven't been up to that roof at all.
Yeah, my advice is never go.
How did you choose the guy? I mean, I'm always curious.
I never met him before.
You just went on a gut thing or a referral?
No, the lady Kyla that did my last house that people would refer to as a work of art. Although I don't think she did those parts. But she said, oh, I got this contractor, John, and he's great, and right. he seemed like a nice enough guy. And I said, okay, go ahead. And they said, well, we'll need $15,000 up front. And I said, okay. And that's the last I've had to do with any of it.
Right.
It's, you know, every time I talk to somebody and they find out I used to be a contractor, they always want to tell me a horror story, which makes me assume that everyone who's ever done a remodel has paid twice as much and it's taken twice as long. Mm-hmm. It's not a unique story. So, Eric, at all, everyone thinks it's their own personal story.
Right.
It's everyone's story. If a guy says it's going to cost $50,000 and take 3 months, it's going to take 6 months and cost $100,000. And that's if that's on a good that's a best
that's a
case
good,
scenario.
Yeah, that's right.
So we will take your home improvement questions. Eric Stromer is the real deal.
Yes, sir.
Unlike who, Eric?
Well, you know,
Ty Penny.
That's right.
Why all the hating? I mean, what's going on, man?
I saw an E! True Hollywood story on his ass.
No.
What?
E! Hollywood. The guy's been around for 10 minutes. I started swinging a hammer in my mother's womb. Second trimester. That's right. It was not much. It was a tree house built around her lower intestines. But I started, been doing this for 40 years.
Hey,
this guy
I had to commit four felonies before I got my own E! True Hollywood story.
I know.
We worked for ours.
I know.
Ty, you're not a jackass.
Will you two great construction minds humor me with a quick home improvement question? It'll be quick.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people may want to do this also. I actually got the idea from being in Adam's house. I hate the way televisions look, and I hate the way the components look, so it's nice to hide them. And what Adam does is he has the flat screens up, and they're framed. So if they're not on, they just look like a piece of art or a mirror or something.
I built them into the wall.
Right.
I didn't set them on the wall.
So it's recessed in a little recession in the framing.
Yeah, right? What I did, well, here's the thing. Flat screens take up about 4 inches. Now, that's the flat screen TV. Then there's the mount. But if you don't use the mount, the actual thickness of the, we call it a flat screen, but it's not a flat screen
right.
technically. It's the LCD or the whatever it is. Because
right.
they can have ones that are flat screen that aren't low depth TVs or minimal depth TVs.
That's a panel, right?
Yeah. No, what we're talking about is a panel TV.
Panel.
But anyway,
right.
4 inches deep. Well, your wall has 3.5 inch studs inside and then about a half inch or 5/8 of drywall. On one side.
Got it.
That equals 4 inches. So if you open up your wall and you frame it out, you know, put a little header above it, and you frame it out just like you're framing out a window, but you don't open the backside, you can push a flat panel TV against there, and it'll flush out with the wall.
Wow.
Then what you do is you get your dimensions, and you go make a picture frame. Now, I made mine, but you can go have one made. Go to a frame shop. You go to a frame shop, they'll pull out the stock you want, pull out the molding you want, and the guy will cut it with the chops on the back, and it'll make it for you. So you make the frame, And now you make the frame so it can go on and be removable. That holds the thing in place. It's not going to fall down. It's sitting inside the wall. And then the only other problem is ventilation, because it creates a fair amount of heat and the heat has to go somewhere. What I then do is go to the backside, figure out what's going on in that room, and put a vent along the top of the wall in the back so that the heat can come out of the wall and dissipate. Now, sometimes it's outside. When I did this over at Jimmy's house, the heat went outside. I had to put a thing that was weather resistant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in my house, I have an old house. So all I did was go to like an old antique store, find an old cast iron heat register, whatever, and just put it up top on the wall behind it. It sort of looks nice. It's just in a bathroom, but it looks like a heat register, but it's where the thing ventilates. Sorry, T, go ahead, babe.
That's exactly my question. You've answered my question.
Yeah.
The frame, do you like a wood frame or something decorative?
You can go, I mean, here's my decorating tips for all of you, the couple things that I may have invented. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. If you go down to those places that make mirrors, they'll make you a custom mirror.
Right.
You can go into those framing shops and you can say to them, my fireplace is 6 foot by whatever, and I would like a nice mirror to hang over the top of my fireplace. And then the guy will point to the wall behind him, and there'll be a whole bunch of those little molding samples. And you'll go, give me 6-22-5. And he'll go, all right. And you'll give him the dimensions. And 2 weeks later, you can go pick your mirror up. What I do is whenever I have closet doors in my house, instead of the crappy aluminum sliding ones with the mirrors on them that look all crappy, I order... You have those?
Of course.
Sorry. I know everyone who's listening has those. Sorry. Yeah, instead of the super low rent white trash doors.
They're off the tracks and they can't be open or closed.
Yeah, I call them the loser doors. But instead of the loser doors, I'll measure the opening. I'll have two mirrors made and hinge them and swing them out or slide them or whatever them, but I will use the framed mirrors. It looks really cool.
Great.
And it doesn't look cheap and rinky-dinky. You, my dear, can build the TV in there. Good luck with your gay boyfriend. Eric, this would be great. You're going to get a phone call about a month from now, crying in the middle of the night.
This is Teresa's boyfriend.
You go over there and you measure what size the TV is and give them the dimension. They will make the frame out of any material that fits or that you choose, any of the hundreds of moldings they have, and you can use that to build the TV in. And then when the TV's off, it just looks like a framed black picture.
Eric, how great is this idea? Do you do this at your house?
I love this. Yeah, and you know, that's the same way you do soap dishes in a shower, for example, too. You'll frame a little header on top and you recess it into the back wall. Yeah, so it's the same principle. It's a great idea.
Are all you tough guys gay?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
I'm building
a picture frame around my already 4-inch thick TV that's only gazillionaires get to have anyway. I'm going to make it look like a painting.
You have to have a good eye if you're a contractor.
But what's your design scheme in your home? I mean, is the gilded frame the way to go?
I would probably go with a dark wood to match my bed.
Mm-hmm.
You probably would go with the dark wood.
Yeah. This is amazing. Hey, Chris. Chris, you have a home improvement question for me and Eric Stromer?
I do.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, so I'm living in a house with a raised foundation, and we have about 550 square feet of area to cover, and started working with Home Depot, and they quoted initially, you know, dollar something a square foot. We're doing pergo in the kitchen, in the hallway, and down the stairs.
Doing the pre-finished hardwood floor there, the engineered stuff, yes?
Exactly. And then we're going to do a tile in the upstairs and downstairs bathroom.
Ty Pennington's a Bellawood man. I've seen the commercials. I was sitting around. I had a glass of red wine. I was seething. I said, this guy's doing bear aspirin. He's got a
Sears?
Sears, and
it's
now a hardwood planking commercial.
Why all the hate?
He's living my life. Chris?
Wait, does he have a radio show? No. Okay,
no.
Continue,
that's
Chris.
I'm sure he's turned it down.
You're not a jackass.
we're flexible on the actual type of wood that we use. So.
Uh-huh. So the question is?
Basically, we originally quoted, you know, a buck something a square foot. Now they're up all the way to $7, or between $7 and $8. Now they just came out yesterday, and so they can't do it at all, based on the fact that when they peeled some carpet up in all those areas, it is actually all particle board.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, ooh. They can't do it.
Wow, yeah. People used to do subflooring with particle board.
Right.
Eric Stromer.
It disintegrates. It goes away. It's not going it's just a bad idea.
Bad 70s thinking.
Yeah. And you got to take it up, and there's a subfloor underneath it that'll be real true hardwood of some sort, some framing idea of some
sort. What year's the house, Chris?
Mid-70s.
Yeah. Horrible. Everything was bad. Every car, every house, every idea. Everything was horrible in the 70s. Maybe everyone was just high, depressed, or both. Yeah. Partridge Family, that's about it.
It's some good hairstyles.
The point is you are going to have to, somebody is going to have to rip this stuff out. Now, Eric Stromer, you can't put three-quarter over it, can you? That's going to raise the height too much.
I would rather you don't. And you know, what I would suggest is find some laborers that could come in for you and just do that part of it and then have these guys come back and give you the original price they quoted.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, can you handle the subfloor gig?
We can probably do that. If I could, I have a second part to that question also. Looks like the Pergo stuff, they're quoting like $100 a stair to go downstairs.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be solid,
affordable
probably.
Way to do that.
Yeah. I don't... This is... I don't know. This is an 8 on the difficulty scale. So unless you're a carpenter, you should just pay the pros to do it. I don't know. I don't want to get into all the pricing and Home Depot, and I can't figure all that stuff out. Eric is saying that the treads are probably solid wood, or at least have a solid bullnose at that point, and that's why it's a lot more to do it. Oh, listen. Also, everybody, people... here's what you people have to understand. If a deal sounds way too good to be true, it's probably way too good to be true. If somebody says they're going to do 550 foot of your house for 99 cents a square foot, and you're going $500 to do my living room, entry hall, whatever,
just pour water
one day. Yeah, it's like when you see these carpet cleaning companies, and they'll go, we'll clean your entry hall, master bedroom, living room, and dining room for $18.
Right.
Don't be surprised when the guy shows up and wants a few ups and extras. You think he's going to spend a day cleaning your house and make $18? Right. Obviously, it's not going to work. So the stuff that sounds cheap, ultimately, I don't say is going to be expensive, but these companies have to make a profit. He's got to tear out all that stuff, and he can put the new stuff down himself. If he does, he's going to have to use a lot of subfloor adhesive. People, subfloor adhesive, what do we know about it? What's different than regular glue?
It adheres.
Yes, Danny, half
good.
Right.
Thank
Teresa?
You.
It's really adhesive while also being waterproof.
It never dries. You see, if you take white wood glue and you put it down and you put your subflooring on it, you walk around on it for a year, it breaks. It pops.
It's brittle.
This always stays just a little bit supple, like T's beautiful pouting lips.
Yes. Joe? Tell me about it.
Thank you.
Joe, yeah. What's happening?
Not too much. What's going on?
Home improvement question, please.
Yeah, can I lay tile over my linoleum? Like, just put thin set down, then put tile over it?
Yes, as long as you have an admix, acrylic admix, added to the thin set, you can. And also, you have to make sure what's below the linoleum is rigid on some level.
What does that acrylic stuff do?
It just, it makes the cement adhere to basically glass if it had to. I mean, it's amazing stuff. It's got this, just an acrylic adhesive mixed
thin set
it.
Is what they put tiles down with. It's essentially like cement or mortar, but if you put the acrylic in it, it gets a little flexibility. But could he do this not over a subfloor? He'd have to be doing this on a slab,
okay,
right?
Okay, now yeah, the fun begins.
Are you on a slab, Joe?
There's Yule.
Yeah, it's a solid slab.
Oh, if you're on a slab. See, I'm surprised by Eric Stromer's answer. I would assume you'd have to tear up the linoleum, but Eric is a former tile contractor.
Here's the only problem with it is that the linoleum, anything before, like pre-set, what is it, 76, I think, is asbestos-laden. So if that stuff starts cracking on you when you're demoing it, it lets the
demoing meaning demolishing.
Yeah, it's letting the spores out in the air, and it turns into sort of a nightmare. So I always recommend just covering it if you can.
Yeah, here's the thing about, as we've spoken about when it comes to the asbestos. If it's left alone, it's pretty much, think of it like a beehive. You leave it alone, you're cool. You throw a rock at it, there's going to be a bunch of angry bees.
Right.
Asbestos, you leave it alone, it's fine. You start taking a sledgehammer to it, all of a sudden everything gets released into the air.
Which you and I, Adam, clearly did for many years already.
Yeah.
Do you think you inhaled a spore
or
two?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I actually roll tobacco in asbestos just to smoke it. And nothing's wrong with me.
All right, let's do one more before we take a break here, Eric. Let's see.
Yes, sir.
T, what do you like? How to clean up messy wires, wants to remove a pocket door.
I like that one, but I also like line 8.
Line 8? What is that, Matt?
Matt.
Can I soundproof my baby's room? Interesting.
Yes. Skip that one. Get Matt on.
Let's go to line six and talk to Steve. No, all right. Let's talk. You're lucky Eric pulled you out of that one. Matt?
Adam.
What do you got? You got a baby's room? The baby's crying?
9-week-old baby out of control.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. What's your baby's name?
My baby's name is Corgan Lane.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, that's my son.
Corgan.
Hold on. He's got another round here.
Hey,
wow. That's right. It's like Ella Fitzgerald. It's like a small white Ella Fitzgerald. If you can picture Ella Fitzgerald at about 14 pounds right. and white as a ghost, that's my son.
That, yeah. Now, both of you
no
are
no difference
dads.
Other than the 6-foot height discrepancy and the 400-pound wow. weight difference.
If you can think of Adam's 14-pound baby that's white as Ella Fitzgerald, you probably think about squirrels pooping. You've just got to shorten your circuit.
Now, don't you need to hear your baby cry?
I don't. No, guys don't need to. I start lactating.
Adam, do you do the phony sleeping on your side, looking the other way when the baby's crying and waiting for your
I've said this once. I've said it again. When I brought the kids home, I brought home another device. I brought home one of those T-shirt launchers they use at the Lakers games, right. The ones where they fire the air cannons. And I brought home a huge sack full of 20s, and I stuff it into it, and I fire it. And that's what I do. I come home every morning, and I fire the air cannon 20s upstairs.
Right.
And then I kick open the kids' room, and I fire an air cannon at the nanny. And then I kick open my bedroom, and I fire one at my wife. And then I put earmuffs on, and I go back downstairs and masturbate until I fall asleep. Wow. That's my schedule.
And to think that that's all based on Dr. Phil's parenting book.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. I just break out one ATM machine and say, here, don't bother me.
To answer Matt's question, can you soundproof a baby's room easily?
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
The
thing about soundproofing, it's mostly the distance between the two walls that are the problem with soundproofing. If you have just a traditional room and you put sort of like the Sonics panel up, it's not going to do much. You have to actually create space between two walls.
You need an air gap.
Exactly.
Now, hold on for a second, because I think we should tease this one. I know quite a bit about this, too. I've built a few studios. So here's what we'll do. Eric Stromer here from Over Your Head, HGTV. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with the answers, but we'll tell you, Matt, how to do it. And again, there's a sort of a what level do you want to go to? Stage one, hang up a beach towel. Stage two, it gets all the way to the point where you're actually getting a wet saw in there and cutting the slab.
Right.
We'll take a quick break. Back with Eric Stromer next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. It's time for the Ace Man to answer your home improvement questions.
Perhaps you should get three bids and take the middle one. So here's the thing about screwing something up. You have to live with it.
With a little help from HGTV's Eric Stromer.
And by the way, it just doesn't feel like a kitchen without a sink.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Home improvement right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
All righty. Well, we were going to talk to Eric Stromer here from HGTV's Over Your Head, one of Hillary Clinton's favorite shows.
You know it.
She said she loves HGTV.
Yeah, she loves my work.
If there is a white woman in the United States between the age of 35 and 65, she's probably watching those shows.
That's right.
Chicks and me love those shows. I'm the only dude who loves those shows. Eric Stromer, the real deal in studio. We left off teasing a little bit with Matt. Matt has fallen off. But we'll answer his question anyway. How do you soundproof a room? And again, you can go from mild to wild. There's easy ways to do it, and then there's real expensive ways to do it. They have soundboard. It's a fibrous board about a half inch or 5/8 thick that you can literally just put on the wall.
Right.
Ultimately, if the kid's going to be squealing, it's going to be hard to keep that voice from reaching your ears. I personally would work on my end of the soundproofing. I would soundproof my head.
Ah, you mean the soundproof headphones? Like
earmuffs or, first off, pour yourself a cold one and settle in. A couple of downers from Teresa's medicine cabinet wouldn't hurt. But seriously, you get those little foam earplugs, and the key is roll them up and let them expand in your ears. Push those babies in. That'll shut it off because you live in an apartment or you live in a condo or even if you live in a house, to really soundproof the kid's room.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, this is a snake that's going to come back to bite you because your little girl's squealing now. But 14, 15 years from now,
you need to hear the squealing.
Neighborhood bad boys come in through the window. Going to give her a nice working over. Yeah. He's on a hymen hunt. He's hunting for hymen. And he comes through the window wearing his khaki shorts and his pith helmet. He's got his native guide with him. You better hope he didn't bring Roscoe.
That's right.
And they're hunting wild hymen. Now, the elusive hymen. And she's in there running for her life.
Is there a season?
And you're sleeping like a baby. Hymen season?
Yeah. Yeah.
Open year round. Summer year. Summer months can be difficult, but year round.
Right, it's hotter.
That's the whole thing. It's always open season on hymens.
How do you protect your daughter's hymen during
guy
the season?
With a thick Aussie accent comes in there. It's got a fan boat. You don't hear that fan boat coming.
Yeah, it's right. So don't soundproof is the bottom line.
That's right.
Right. Eric, you have a daughter?
Yeah, I have a daughter and two sons.
That's
right. The daughter is doing the same thing with the crying like crazy. But you know, I find if you hold her and you... We didn't address his parenting. That's probably where the issue is. I mean, mm-hmm. If he's a new dad, he's probably really nervous and is not really comfortable with the baby yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Were you guys nervous when your first baby came home?
No, Mom. My first two came home on the same day.
I do remember...
I do remember my wife having a small meltdown when they came home. Because, you know, you hear this story all the time, but it's true. They just kind of give you the kids and tell you to go home.
Yeah.
And, you know, on Monday, you don't know how to change a diaper. And on Tuesday, you have a couple of screaming infants sitting in your living room. It's like you literally you just have to take care of them.
You get more training at the DMV getting a driver's license than raising a kid.
Absolutely.
You have a license and kids? You really are accomplished.
Thank you so much.
Talk about a show off.
Wow.
Quick answer for Mike on line three, which was Teresa's question about building the TV into the wall. Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, when you vent it out the back, mm-hmm. how do you get it past the header?
You go, you have to go, good question. You have to go underneath the header.
Okay, so if the TV's at 6 foot, you got a vent on the other side of the wall at 6 foot.
Yeah, what I'm saying is we're talking about building the TV, the flat panel 4-inch TV, into the wall, which I think is really cool, and then putting the picture frame around it and holding it in. I'm no scientist. I don't work for Sony or Zenith,
NASA.
But I can tell you this. I put Kimmel's, two of his, in his wall 6 years ago. We watched 27 hours of straight TV over there. I'm serious. His cousin Sal. Now, what I did with Jimmy's TVs is I put two receivers on each one. Man, that guy owes me. And we do the split screen, and we can watch four games on two TVs.
Like Vegas, baby.
And Jimmy's cousin Sal gets there about 5:45 in the morning and turns the pregame on. It's a Farm Report and pregame football show. They put that on, and then he locks up about 8 o'clock at night after the Sunday night late game goes off. So those TV sets are on for 14, 15 hours, and I haven't had any problems with them yet. Vent the top. You don't have to be above the TV with the vent, just at the top of the TV. Let the heat dissipate. Yes, Mike?
Yeah, no, then that's what I was talking about. So there's no way to, because I don't want to vent at 6 foot on the backside.
Oh, okay. Well, don't put a header in. Do you need to put a header in?
Probably not. I could probably get away without having. It's not a structural wall.
Yeah, I can. I dig what you're saying. How do you get? You want to put it up higher, but you don't want to. How does the heat dissipate through the header? Yeah, I'll tell you what you have to do. Then you have to make a bigger opening and head it out all the way up. If you need a header, if not, fine. And then do a flat framed header at the top. You know, just take a 2x4 and put it on its edge. Leave an air gap for the air to escape past the height of that up into the register. Yes.
And you couldn't have watched straight TV. Not 1 second of straight TV has been watched on that set.
Mike, are you going to try this?
Oh, let's see, Mike.
The next one was electrical. Where did you hide the electrical? Or is there just room back there to throw a box?
I mean, you just have to get creative about it. It's all, you know, there's no kit for it. You have to be creative, but you just drill holes and pull some Romex and do whatever you got to do. And I don't think I plugged mine in. I think I dropped the cord down and plugged it in down below. The thing will have 6 foot worth of cord on it. You can plug it in wherever you want to plug it. The cord doesn't come outside of the wall. But yes, let it be known to those who want to endeavor to try putting the TV into the wall that not only you're going to have to do some framing, but you got to run some cable and you got to run some coax and you got to run some heat. You got to get some power to the TV set. And not only that, but I buried a goddamn TiVo box in the wall of my house as well. Oh, yes. I'm like Al Capone.
Goodness, no
Al
way.
Capone of TiVo. 100 years from now, Geraldo's grandson is going to break into my house.
The missing TiVo.
And actually find something.
Possibly a hymen.
Right.
Oh, no.
Hid that baby in the wall, too.
That's right. Hunting for it.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Eric Stromer, everybody.
Gentlemen, thank you.
The real deal, as he's known to his friends and family. Over Your Head, HGTV, Saturday, 11 a.m. and Thursdays.
Monday nights at 8:30, too. Now.
And Monday nights at 8:30.
I can't believe it.
I'll tell you what. Tell us when it's not on, Big Shot. That'll be faster. Yeah. Take ourselves a break. The Lee Majors, $6 million man, Lee Majors, on the show next.
Coming up this morning, we'll sit down with David Alan Greer.
Adam, you are a warrior. I call you hero.
Have a little chat with Andy Dick.
Ooh, excuse me.
Break down the game film from another episode of PBS's Schulhauser.
Here we are, cool as we can be.
And talk to the fall guy, Lee Majors.
He was what we call a stuntman. And the reason I'm talking so fondly about him is, well, because it's me, Colt Severs.
The news with Teresa Strasser. And the olds with Danny Bonaducci.
I love my MySpace.
866-901-ADAM. This is the greatest show in the history of great shows. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, he knows who pays him. Hey, I was just looking down at Lee Major's card, who's on the line. We're going to talk to him in a second. Is Lee singing this song?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking down and I thought, yeah, that's right. He's Steve Austin, the $6 million man. And then I looked down and I said, that's right. He's Colt Severs, the fall guy. And then I looked down and go, oh, that's right. He was on like the Big Valley where he played Heath Barkley. He has had three of the coolest names in television. He's been Heath Barkley, Colt Severs, and Steve Austin. Huh?
Can't beat that.
Can't beat that.
That's not Brian Abramowitz.
Ruben Kincaid.
Hey, Lee.
Hi, good morning.
Great to speak to you. Congratulations on your fake names.
Thank you. There are a lot of kids out there with running around with those names.
Is that right? Do you meet a lot of kids that were named after your characters?
Oh, no. Yeah. You just boned a lot of groupies. That's what I'm trying to say.
Is Danny there?
Yes, and I wish Adam wouldn't talk so dirty. How are you, sir?
How are you? Good to see you again. Good to hear you again.
Nice to talk to you. As a matter of fact, you know his real name? Is a very cool name.
Lee Majors, real name?
Lee Majors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But is that your real name, Lee Majors?
That's my real name.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Add that to the list.
Yeah.
So how are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. And, you know, Lee is, he has an interesting career because Lee was, of course, a $6 million man, one of my favorite shows growing up. And then he went away for a while. And then he came back as the fall guy. And then he went away for a while. And now he's popping up in everyone's movie.
Right.
And I have this theory, although, Lee, you can tell me how it goes. A lot of the guys who grew up watching you and idolizing you and being big fans of the $6 million man and fall guy are now in their 30s and 40s, and they're making movies. And they're going, hey, I want to work with the guy I dug when I was growing up. Is that what's going on?
You know, that's exactly kind of how it happens. It depends on your age. You know, Big Valley was in the 60s with Men from Shiloh, Owen Marshall, and then Six Mill was in the 70s, and Fall Guy was in the 80s. And so I took about 10 years off because I kind of got a little burned out doing all those action-adventure, shows. Physically, they're very tough on you. But then I came back to town. I'd moved away for a while. I came back to town and started working again in the last couple of years. But I do find that a lot of this comes from writers who, God, can we write you something? And in fact, to give you an example, I met these two writers at the Coffee Bean. They said, gosh, would you do a show, one of our shows? And I said, which one? They said, According to Jim.
Really?
We want you to do the premiere show, and it'll be premiering pretty soon. And you want you to play God. And I said, well, was that typecasting or what?
And these guys were somewhere between the age of 35 and 45?
In their early 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the writers, the young writers, are around that age. In fact, this business has always been run by young kids.
Yeah, and those young kids, like I said, grew up watching Lee Majors. I was surprised to see that the Fall Guy actually lasted another season longer than the $6 Million Man. But why did the $6 Million Man end? You know, at least to me, it was going gangbusters the whole time. Did you decide to stop it? Did the network pull the plug?
I think they probably had enough to run, to put it in reruns forever. I don't know. But we did, what, 5 or 6 years of that? But then before we were on the air in episodic, we did 3 2-hour movies of that.
That's right.
And then after we went off the air, we did 3 more two-hour
movies. Is that when you went up against Bigfoot?
And that was in the series, I think.
I'll tell you, if you did not,
times.
If whoever played Bigfoot did not pull an Emmy down for that, he was robbed.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Didn't you know who that was?
No.
That was Andre the Giant.
Oh, yes.
The wrestler from France.
Yeah.
Inconceivable.
And Lidsville.
Yes, he was a big fellow.
Yes. He's the only guy that ever played Sasquatch where for wardrobe, they just handed him a razor. I said, actually, you have to get a haircut, and then you're going right on the set, Andre.
You know, I was filming months ago this thing called Ben 10. It was a Cartoon Network's first action-adventure film based on one of their cartoons, and we were shooting out in Sylmar at a power plant, mm-hmm. which was kind of half-deserted. And while I was in there doing this kind of fighting scene with these alien things or whatever, these guys that worked there at the power plant that were still there came out with some pictures that they had dug up that their fathers had taken and left there. And it was me fighting Bigfoot in exactly the same spot 30 years ago.
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty cool. I mean,
surreal, yeah.
I'm still here fighting.
Yeah. Still fighting Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Hey, now, the Bionic Woman, which is now back on, she only has one bionic arm.
Yeah.
Did you have non-bionic parts?
I only had one bionic arm.
Yeah, two bionic legs.
And two bionic legs.
I know this is going to sound like a wacky radio station question, and
not. Nothing was wacky from you, Danny.
I absolutely care about this because I thought about it.
I think I smell this one coming.
Yeah. When it came time to bionically pleasure oneself.
Was that good for you?
I just wondered, was it dangerous? Did they ever get scared?
I think she broke his ribs.
And who's going to clean up the transmission fluid? That was always the question. Yes, important question that needed to be asked.
It did, I agree. You know it needed to be asked.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper wouldn't have the Wavos to ask that question.
Which arm would you choose?
The only thing about that show particularly is that I remember, you know, Lindsay Wagner was so down to earth and so warm and, you know, young and... And I see this show now. You know, ours was more for kids, and they enjoyed it, and the families. But
yeah.
I don't know if a family would sit down and watch this together because it's just a little too dark, a little too sci-fi.
This brings me to a pet peeve of mine. Yes, the old Bionic Woman, she was bionicized when she parachute didn't open or something.
Right. Yeah, she was my girlfriend from Ojai, who was a tennis pro.
She was a tennis pro, and he'd go up north to hang out with her, and then she had a skydiving accident. Later, she had a bionic dog. I don't know why they were through the dog.
I would never work with that dog.
That German Shepherd.
They wanted to put the dog on my show. I said, you're not putting a bionic dog on my show.
Well, he hung out with Lindsay. I don't know if he was skydiving with her or what happened to the dog, but evidently there's a bionic dog, but the show was sort of family friendly, and it was a little bit campy, and it was a little bit tongue in cheek, and it was all fun for us 8-year-olds to watch at the time. Now, my beef is this, and Lee, you can chime in on it. I don't like the newer, edgier everything. I don't like the new, dark, edgy Spider-Man. I don't like the dark, edgy bionic this or that. I don't like the super dark, edgy, or vulnerable 007. I don't want to see 007 have his scrotum traumatized while he's nude doing some waterboarding thing. I want him to bang hot chicks and hit the ejector seat when he's done with them. That's what or maybe not bang, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
When you're done, you hit the ejector. I want the gadgets. I want the stuff. I want Spider-Man to be laughing and joking. I want the comic book version of this stuff. I don't think this is a great plan, taking a turn for the dark and the edgy. And by the way, we have shows like The Shield. If you want dark and edgy, go watch The Shield.
Yeah.
If you want light and fun and campy, then you should watch The Bionic Woman.
Well, especially for an audience of the teenagers and kids that they want to get, even younger. It's just too edgy for them.
Now, why do you think they did the Bionic Woman and not the Bionic Man?
Well, because they couldn't get the rights to the Bionic Man.
Oh.
Ooh,
Universal, I guess, allowed them or whoever, that they lost the rights to 6 mil. Mm-hmm. And because they sold the rights, and I think the film rights are now owned by Weinstein Brothers.
There must be.
And they're going Jews to. They want to make a film.
There's got to be a $6 million man movie somewhere.
I know, yeah, I see it.
That's what they're planning. That's why you don't see any reruns either, because they haven't released
well,
even.
Well, who would you like to star in the movie?
Myself, I don't care.
Now, Lee, I imagine when the $6 million man movie does finally hit the theaters that you'll have to at least have a cameo in it.
Well, I don't know. They didn't ask Lindsay to do a cameo in that Bionic Woman.
Yeah, what about Shatner being shut out of Star Trek?
Yeah, that's a
snub.
That's a real snub. I got to tell you, Danny, we ought to go take care of those
people. Yeah, Danny.
I'm ready.
That would be your worst nightmare. Lee Majors and Bonaducci show up.
Show your door with Lee, something.
You give them that eye squint thing when you're focusing with your bionic eye.
If I ever go out, Danny, we hit the clubs, man, I'm going to say, okay, Danny, take care of that one.
Lee, I know we didn't call just to take a walk down memory lane. You wanted to hand out a 800 number. So before we leave, why don't we do that?
Well, at the moment, I happen to be in Las Vegas at the Tahiti Village. I'm just kind of resting up from doing a film down in Louisiana.
Sure, when you crash a spaceship like Lee
crash. Did. And my friends at the Tahiti Village have a very special offer for your listeners today. And right now, everyone who calls this number will receive a complimentary 3-day, 2-night stay at a great Las Vegas hotel.
So,
courtesy of Tahiti Village.
Well, toss the number out so
the
people can come hang with you poolside.
Number to call is 877-53-GET-IT.
877-53-GET-IT.
Now, for those of you that can't see the little numbers, little letters on your phone, that's 877-534-3848.
Yeah.
But, you know, come on, it's a perfect getaway and a second honeymoon for people, a chance to experience Las Vegas. And another thing, if they call within the next 15 minutes, they'll even throw in 2 tickets to a hot Las Vegas show. Now, I don't know how hot, but it'll be a hit show.
Good times.
So get it now and get the 3 days and 2 nights at a Las Vegas hotel complimentary at that number.
Hey, Lee, come see us when you're out of Vegas and back in L.A., please.
I will. I'd love to come see you guys at the studio.
Good to talk to you. Lee Majors, everybody.
Thanks, Lee.
Has anybody seen him recently in person?
No. I've seen him in movies, but I haven't seen him in person.
He looks incredible. The reason he's at a club, I think, is I saw him at a club, and he was going in, and I said to the guy next to me, I said, look at that guy. He looks like Lee Majors just 20 years ago. And he heard me, and he said, I am Lee Majors 20 years ago.
Wow.
And he looks like he's gotten, you know, I don't know if he's gotten work that works, because I've never seen work on men work out.
He was a football star, and even though he ended up doing $6 Million Man and that kind of stuff, he was really sort of a Burt Reynolds type.
Right.
Now, speaking of work not working out, you got Burt Reynolds. But the point is he was a strapping hunk of a dude, and he has a pretty nice genetic hand dealt to him. And I'm guessing some of those guys who just get that good hand, if they don't F it all up, if they don't pull a Jan Michael Vincent and get loopy and ride a motorcycle into something stationary or just blow themselves up with booze, can hang on to that stuff. Sorry, Dan.
Can you just ever pick something I don't do? Ever?
If they don't drown it in Red Bull and nicotine. Oh, Jesus right. Christ. All right.
Or not sleep.
T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
What newsmaker is this and why is she laughing? Yeah, big
news. Get to that. Also, we'll have to replay my CNN Kieran Chitry report from yesterday as well. I'm in love with that.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was?
Is that you?
It's my tribute to Alvin and the Chipmunks. We'll take ourselves a break. Back with the news next.
And now, Alcoa presents. Definitely not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Madison, Wisconsin. A police officer was reprimanded for accidentally shooting himself with a taser.
times. T-Bone.
Yep.
What's in the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
A week before Washington Redskins safety Sean Taylor was shot in the early hours of Monday morning, someone broke into his house, rifled through some drawers, and left a kitchen knife on his bed. As we speak, authorities are searching for some correlation between that earlier robbery and the one in which he was fatally shot. Yesterday, the Miami Police Department spoke about the break-ins.
They're looking at both cases, the burglary from yesterday, and they're definitely looking at yesterday's case and see if there's any similarities. And as I mentioned before, the forced entry signs that are at the residence, they're checking to see if, in fact, this occurred yesterday or if it occurred a week ago when there was during the other incident. But this is a homicide case. It's a very delicate case. I mean, all homicide cases are very delicate. And they'll look at every single possible detail to see if they can link it to any particular person. And because of that, the information is going to come very slow. It's only been 24 hours that this occurred. And 24 hours in a homicide case is equivalent to 10 minutes of real time.
Yeah, let me save the Dade County Sheriff Department a little bit of time because I know how every one of these stories ends.
Yeah.
There's A scenario, we never catch a guy.
Right.
B scenario, we never catch a guy except for the guy gets drunk and talks to some stripper and then she calls in the tip line to get the reward right. A year and a half from now and we find him in another prison in another community in a neighboring county. He was up there for too many DUIs, but it turns out we pinned this to him. It's never that the police do a bunch of great investigative work and find the guy. That's the only scenario I know is not going to happen. I don't know why, because there's a billion TV shows just dedicated to that one. I think they call it overcompensation. But as far as I can tell, every single story ends up the same way. Somebody turns themselves in. Somebody gets drunk and talks. Somebody gets brought up on other charges somewhere else. And then they run some DNA profile bank thing or whatever, and they find it on this thing. That's how it works. So everyone who's looking for him, go home.
Right.
I know how this ends. Wait till you get.
If you're an axe murderer and you come out and your car has been booted, you're caught.
That's how it works.
Because that's how it starts.
Yes. Every single one of these turns out that the guy ends up talks to somebody because it's a high profile thing and the guy has the education of a third grader and he has a substance abuse problem. That's how all these things end. It's never just the good police work, or at least it never seems to be that way. Am I jaded? Or do we never seem to catch anybody just through regular police modality? Somebody drops a dime on them.
I watch a show called, I don't watch it regularly, but if it's on, I watch it. A show called The First 48.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first 48 hours after a crime.
That's the most critical time.
Right.
I don't think they've ever caught anybody.
They never catch anybody.
Sad.
Well,
it's probably the wife sitting right there, and they don't get her.
Here's the sad thing. Here's a sad testimonial about the good folks behind the badge. They are much better at handing out parking tickets, moving violations, and you rolling through four-way stop signs. They get an A-plus in that department. If somebody comes in and murders your wife, there's a very good chance they're not going to catch the guy unless the guy essentially catches himself.
Are you talking specifically to me?
I'm looking at you.
If somebody comes in and murders my wife, there's a good chance they won't catch
them. Now, if you murder your wife by driving through your living room, you'll get a ticket and then get busted for murder. So, if your car is parked somewhere longer than 72 hours and you murder your wife, or you roll through a four-way stop sign and you murder your wife, or you go 9 miles an hour faster than the posted speed limit and you murder your wife, then you will be caught. First, you'll be stopped and given a chicken-ass ticket. Then they'll catch you. Yes, they are excellent at things that raise money, but things that cost money, not so good at. I'll be surprised if, here's how most of these things end. The guy commits suicide and leaves a note saying he did it, or somebody's cellmate turns the guy in and he's brought in on other charges. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just jaded, but we'll wait and see if they catch the guy. Now, this sounded very sloppy. This sounded like someone was high on drugs and somebody needed some money and somebody did something very stupid. And this one sounds like it might come to an end pretty quickly. Yeah. This was not a hired assassin. Yeah. And those who are speculating that this was a murder, this was not a murder. Because if you murder someone, you murder somebody. You don't shoot them in the leg and run. You finish the job.
Right.
If you go into someone's house to kill them, you don't make a bunch of noise downstairs and then run into the room and shoot him in the leg and then run home again. That's not what a hired contract does.
Malicious wounding.
Right. All right.
In the first degree, no less.
Plus, this guy, this poor guy who shot him, and I say poor guy only in this one sense. You break into someone's house, you shoot him in the leg, depending on how many priors you have, you might not do a whole lot of time. No. Now, murder one.
Yeah.
He hit an artery, the guy right. bled out, and that's it.
It's a difference between a quarter inch.
Right.
Bullet goes a quarter inch to the right, guy's got a flesh wound in his thigh, let him out of prison. Now, murder one, put him in the chair.
Well, here's something to cheer you guys up.
I'm afraid of the chair.
What, the chair?
The electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of lethal injection. I'm not terrified of the gas chamber. But something about the electric chair. If they brought that one back, and maybe hanging. Yeah. Anything that makes me think, this might really hurt, and what if I don't die first shot?
Mm.
You know, the lethal injection, it seems like it puts you to sleep. You don't make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
You know, I've been pretty close to the lethal injection on my own, just recreationally.
I know. Listen, I wish I got one every Friday afternoon, and it just wore off
right.
Monday morning.
I've actually given this a lot of thought. Best way to go, carbon monoxide.
Oh, from your mouth to God's ears, baby.
It's a colorless, odorless gas. You just take a nap. And in your case, you could take a nap in one of your cars.
Mm.
And then nighty-night.
Wow. Be buried in my car like some old rich crazy woman. Hey, by the way, you guys don't remember the time when there were requests. You'd turn on the news every other day, and there'd be some old 80-year-old heiress who was requested to be buried in her Jaguar.
Right.
They used to have that. For some reason, they don't do that stuff anymore. Where are all the burial stunts?
Yeah.
Let's do that. You remember my Trey Boucher idea from yesterday? My right. My catapult idea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm going. That's it. Put it in a will.
Yeah, right. I think is it Thailand where they mock up Cadillacs and stuff like that and bury them in those?
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a whole culture in the East, and that's one of the things of the funeral. And there are people, and they're amazing. They're like Ferraris or miniature mansions.
Or go there to die.
Or, there's a good reason to go to Thailand. Well, there's two good reasons to go there. One of them is to die.
You want
to
know...
And the other one will probably kill you.
You want to know what poor white trash I am? To me, I could not, as a very young child, could not aspire. There were no richer than the people that had the bed shaped as a race car.
Oh, that was the coolest.
I passed a couple of those. I remember passing a store in Santa Monica that had a big window display, and it probably was like beds and mattresses and futons plus. And there was one of those little bed racer things, and I just looked at that, and I just said, how rich do you have to be to afford a bed that's shaped as a race car?
Yeah.
Now, in all reality, it's a 4-foot by 4-foot bed with 10 cents worth of plastic around the front of it painted like Speed Racer's car. But I remember staring at that and go, what? The Sultan of Brunei's kid probably has one. I didn't realize that stuff was actually bought by the mass public. I had no idea. Smart. I'm going to start working on my kids that way, too, so they think like a snow cone is out of reach. Like, I used to think if I wanted a snow cone, I'd give my dad 6 months' notice, and he'd have to start his T-bill in my name. All right, sorry.
Carson Daly has had enough of the writer's strike.
Mm.
I don't know what's more shocking, that he's going to cross the line or that he had writers to begin with.
I'm with you.
Oh.
But indeed, he did have writers. They are still on strike.
Mm-hmm.
But according to The Hollywood Reporter, he is expected to cross the picket lines and begin taping new episodes of Last Call with Carson Daly this week. The new episodes would begin airing next week. This would make Carson the first late-night host to return to work since all the other major late-night shows shut down November 5th. The day the writers walked out.
Well, now, I did that roast last night for Gene Simmons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there were writers everywhere.
For the roast.
Hanging out, writing joke after joke after joke, and only me and one other guy refused to take notes up with us.
Are the, you and Steve-O?
Me and two other guys. Well, he wrote, but his name in the snow, if you know what I'm saying.
Steve-O.
Steve-O peed on stage twice, and they kicked him off the show.
It's funny, I said to Danny... Danny said to me, you didn't tell me how long those rows go.
He said, oh, I've done a lot of those rows. It'll be, blah, 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 blah. That's all. You could have told your little buddy Gilligan that they last longer than the celebrity's career.
Yeah.
It was 600 years long.
Yeah, what happens with the roast? Well, I did tell you yesterday after the show, keep it tight.
And I did.
Everyone goes 25 minutes, and then the next guy goes 25 minutes, and there's a lot of old blowhards who don't get a lot of mic time in this town, and oh boy, it's time to dust off the old brain and wax nostalgic, and some of these guys go on for 45 minutes. Yeah. Now, that's times 14 guys.
Yeah.
You've had a couple of Red Bulls and vodkas to take the edge off before you get up on stage, and you realize 10 minutes into Dick Gregory's four-hour dissertation about what a human rights activist and pioneer Gene Simmons is, you realize you got to take a leak. And you can't get up and go anywhere because some guy's up at the dais. Steve-O solved that problem.
You're done. Steve-O solved that problem with integrity?
He filled a couple of bottles.
In one whiz. Two full water bottles, and he wasn't done. They took him off the stage with his wang out.
I think they could, to be fair, Steve-O's wang was out when he walked on stage, too.
By the way,
I don't think they're
you're
gonna,
not kidding.
They're not going to air this. This wasn't for air, right?
Oh, no, this was for A&E.
It
oh,
wasn't
for,
live, though. They'll cut it together.
Yeah, no, but no, I'm talking for 3 days.
I'm talking about the writers.
Ah, well, there's a couple possibilities as to why there were people writing during a strike, you mean?
Yeah,
they could have been non-union writers. They could have been non-members of the WGA,
okay.
And it could have been a non-union show.
Right.
That was saving, since it is on cable. I don't know.
One of Carrot Top's funniest jokes.
Hopefully they were not scabs.
I hate to give away one of Carrot Top's funniest jokes. When he pulled up a picket sign that didn't have anything written on it, and he said, there's a writer's strike. I saw this protester outside. I thought that was kind of
That's
funny.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think I'd seen that somewhere, though.
You mean Carrot Top's unoriginal?
He may have ripped that off.
My Carrot Top.
Yes. Well, all right. So Carson Daly back.
Yeah, and you might be wondering, how is he going to keep up the hilarity? Well, he has a plan, and the smoking gun got a hold of it.
Uh-huh.
His plan was to set up a joke hotline and ask friends and family to call him with material. Yes.
Friends and family.
Yes. He clarifies in an email that they got their hands on.
Hold on, my mom. I think my mom may be calling.
Oh, she's got
up.
A funny?
Yeah, she wants to make a joke.
Oh, so great.
How should I know?
Oh, I don't know how you're going to... I mean, that seems more like a setup.
Wait a minute. A, she's got a few other entries.
What else?
Yeah.
Right. Joke hotline.
Mom?
How would I know that?
Okay. I'm going to write that down. It's good stuff.
Well,
you see where I got my sense of humor, right?
Yeah. In the email...
Oh, wait a minute.
How can you possibly expect me to answer that?
Okay. So we got... Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's monologue taking
care. What about if Dad calls the joke hotline?
Dad?
That's
like a catchphrase.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, really. It was like living with the Marx Brothers growing up. It was a nonstop hilarity.
Unfortunately, they were all
great.
They were all Zeppo. Well,
what a party it was living with those two.
Big, hot water.
Whoopee cushions, wall to wall, plate spinning, big nose and glasses, the little buzzer. My dad would always shake my hand. Hey, son. Bzzz. Oh, man.
This is what you woke me up for.
What a party.
Lynette,
what a party.
Called the hotline?
Hold on. Let's,
joke hotline?
Let's hear my mom one more time. Everyone just close their eyes and imagine this party.
How should I know?
Awesome. Woo, still
How
laughing.
How would I know that?
Still laughing from the seventh grade.
Still,
can't
still
stop.
Giggling.
What a party.
Well, Carson Daly's email does contain the hotline number, which I have, but it's been shut down.
Mom, get off the unicycle. Come on now.
How can you possibly expect me to answer that?
Take them big clown shoes off. This is too much. My side hurts from laughing.
Was she doing a lot of juggling during dinner?
Juggling welfare checks.
Well,
all right.
I have to get to this before I go. Dancing with the Stars crowned its season 5 winner last night, and it was 2-time Indy 500 champ Elio Castroneves. Elio Castroneves and his partner, Julianne, 19 years old. They are the new champions. Here is Elio at the after party.
I was just shocked. I was like, it is? What's going on? I look at her, she's screaming. I'm like, okay, I guess we are the champions.
I was shocked. This season has been so unpredictable, and I think he's the rightful champion, but I really didn't know what was going to happen.
First off, let me, a couple observations.
Okay.
This bastard comes into this country and wins the Indy 500.
Yeah.
The most American of all institutions.
Twice.
The Brickyard, the Indy 500, uniquely
institution.
American institution,
right.
Event that's been going. Then, when he's done winning at the track, He puts on his capizios and he heads over to the studio. He sheds the good years
right.
and dons the capizios.
Yeah.
That's where I get the big bucks, Bonaducci. And he waltzes his way over to the studio, and now he takes the trophy for Dancing with the Stars.
The Mirrorball trophy. He was the only one with no performing experience except for Mark Cuban, who was out a long time ago.
What's next? Carve his head in up there in Mount Cheyenne there, or Mount Rushmore.
Mount Cheyenne.
Wipe your ass with the Constitution. I don't know what communist country you're from, Elian.
He danced right on our flag.
Hold on. Is this the same kid who came over from Cuba?
No, this is Elio. He's Italian.
Huh?
He's
I remember hearing about this cat in the news a few years ago.
Storm his house.
Came over in an inner tube from Cuba, and we sent his ass back. Well,
he's
came back, and he took the Indy 500 and wiped his ass with the Constitution, blew his nose on Old Glory. Well, listen.
How dare you?
I don't know where you live in Cuba, my communist friend. But how would you like it if I came on over to your...
I think that was Elio Gonzalez.
And then don't stop me when I'm
sorry.
On a roll,
I'm
sorry.
Keith. Sorry.
Yes, and.
Would you like it if I come over to your beloved Havana over there and I make myself a nice cigar made of apple pie in Chevrolet, and I smoke it, and I blow the smoke into the face of your ailing grandmother before I fire a snot rocket off and then wipe my ass with the Cuban flag, which is the two cots crossed with the buzzard in the middle over the gold leaf dumpster, huh? How'd you like it, Mr. Cuba over there? Yeah. Yeah, and then I went over there and I shaved Fidel Castro. That's right. Like some sort of frat hazing with a dry razor. I shaved his ass and then bitch slapped him. How'd you like that, Elion? Huh?
Well, all the guys was dance.
Elio Castro Neves, the race car driver, beat Scary Spice, who came in second. Here she is at the after party.
I think that we're winners. I think we have come right to the end. I didn't expect that at all. But it was a horrible feeling.
Yeah. She's one of these chicks who's going to turn into a man in a few years. Like menopause is going to kick in and she's going to start smoking those brown cigarettes. She's going to have a little mustache.
It's going to scare Eddie Murphy.
I
already heard he likes chicks with mustaches.
By the way, though, his partner, Elion.
Yeah.
Little Elion Gonzalez. His partner.
Julianne, 19.
Wow.
She's gorgeous.
She is spectacular looking. And I got to say, here's how it breaks down. First, I do her. Second, her brother.
The brother is another one of the ballroom dancers.
Then there's a third sister. They're like the Van Trapps over there, the Van Trapp family. They're Aryan. They're like
the
crazy
Aryan.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know what their breed is, but somebody's got to breed those cats.
I know. They're phenomenal dancers, and they're very charming.
I know. She won it last year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she took Apollo Anton Ono to the top.
Mormon.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh,
now, listen. I don't know how you guys roll, but let me tell you how
not
I roll.
With Mormons, usually.
I know, but Danny, this may not be your thing, but I think I can get you into it.
Being a Mormon?
No.
Oh.
Just dig this.
Right.
She's a goody two-shoes. She's a Mormon. Pure as the driven snow. No tramp stamps, no weird piercings, no weird stories. You know what I mean? Not a rock and roll chick, not a party chick. For me, getting with her is a much greater accomplishment, much bigger feather in my cap.
Right.
I would much rather lay down with her than just rock and roll chick, tatted up, sleeved, whatever. I don't care how hot the rock and roll chick is. She could be smoking hot. To me, the Mormon, much more elusive.
The Mormon is climbing Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
The rock and roll chick is walking over the speed bump.
Right.
I would much rather walk over 1,000 speed bumps than climb Mount Everest once.
You don't want to burn the calories that it's going to take to get inside
her. Calories. And, I mean, there is, if I had to list hobbies, lying to chicks for no apparent reason would rank very high.
Mm.
But the lies I would have to tell the Mormon to get in her pants might even make me feel bad.
But butt hot. And I don't know if she has a boyfriend or not.
But I was wondering if she was with Elio. They seem like they have so much chemistry. I don't know if he's married
I think he's... Well, first off, he's 9 years old. I don't think he's married, Teresa. He lives in Cuba.
He's Italian.
I've seen the news stories.
He's a grown-up.
And he's a dancer.
Those dimples. And his sister was on last night, and she's gorgeous, too. Elio's sister, I mean.
Everyone's good-looking but us.
I only know this because I've been staring at pictures of her for the last 3 minutes, but apparently she called off a wedding to somebody, an engagement, like no more than like 3 or 4 months ago.
Now, that's not... So she realized, hey, man...
I can do better because
I'm piping hot and I'm on the most popular show on TV and I just won 2 years in a row. I mean, the guy she's been with has won last
year.
She
takes them all the way.
Yeah. Hot good luck charm. I like to bring her to the roulette wheel. Give it a spin. All right, where were we?
I'm Teresa Strasser.
Now we're back in time.
That was the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Oh, my God. Imagine her in bed.
Yes.
Oh, is Elio Brazilian?
Yes.
Brazilian. Sorry, my apologies.
Either way, let's get back to her and the sass.
Yeah.
First off, you got that winner of Dancing with the Star thing right over there on the mantle. You got the trophy over there.
Mine's a hood on.
You got the mirror ball. You better put out in bed. I don't want the judges holding up threes and fours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know it's in you.
Yeah, it's literally.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, when you know somebody can move... They gotta put out.
Right, I know.
We've seen you on TV. The bar's up here. You can't fake an injury here.
Same with a gymnast.
Right. Start spinning.
I hate to say this, but you know who crossed my mind? Sugar Ray Leonard.
I was thinking Bart Connor.
Okay, you go. All right.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Oh, good news, everyone. David Alan Greer. Dag. My main man. Awesome.
Hey, yeah. Adam. Good to be here.
Play that whole thing. I love the whole thing.
Hey, yeah. Adam. It's good to be here. I'd like to take you out for an imported beer.
Great Maya Angelou. Dag, in studio next.
Leaving the death row. Say what? What? He's doing things in the morning. Having a real good time. He's having so much fun. He will make you lose your mind. Teresa's reading the news on the Adam Cracker Holy Show. Jimmy don't beat him.
David Alan Greer, Wallflower, David Alan Greer.
What's up?
It's great to see you again, Dad.
Listen, guys, I just came by. I want to get everybody's Christmas and Kwanzaa gift list.
Oh, thanks.
I'm heading over to do my shoplifting at the mall today.
What do you know about Kwanzaa, Dag?
It's this...
How's it work?
Colored guy invented it in 1970.
What do we do? How should we honor it? Stay out?
You just act African.
I see.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You act African?
Yeah.
I heard it's going to work for me. I look like Opie Taylor, man.
Inside out. I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Is it a series of days? Is it an entire month?
Say, I'm going to go answer number one.
Yeah, I think it's more than one.
It is like 7 days.
I feel like a Kwanzaa would be your metric system. Like that.
Here's what Kwanzaa is. It's not my tradition.
It's something that never took off.
It was invented by a college professor in the 1970s. That's not what I barely make it through Christmas. And as a matter of fact, when I say Happy Kwanzaa, I'm being facetious, but people, usually white people, are like, oh, well, Happy Kwanzaa to you.
You know, it'd be an interesting.
White people have to be afraid of some
white
people.
Yes.
What?
You know what I'd like? It would be fun. Uh-oh. Fun little social experiment for us.
Oh, boy.
Look. Here's the deal.
What?
A certain percentage of the white populace is racist. The other percentage, I know you've never heard about that. The other percentage is trying to feverishly make up for that percentage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we all feel guilty and weird all the time. And that's why if you invented a character, it'd be an interesting social experiment. You take sort of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Barack Obama and you mix Colin Powell and you mix them all together.
In a cauldron.
And we give you some sort of degree from somewhere that no one will ever question you about. And you grow a funky beard and you wear a kufi and stuff like that. Yeah. And you start coming up with fake holidays and stuff. Next thing you know, you're on CNN. We're all guilty and we feel weird and we're talking to you about every event. And you're my puppet.
I'm here to celebrate Bantu birthday.
That's right. I'm sorry, I hadn't heard about that.
Well, that's the day that they brought you to the African village, and you were greeted by the village elders.
Okay, hold on. I'm writing very well. What month is this in?
It's any month I say. Now, what it requires is that you give me $100.
Okay, let's see if I can go. Hey, Bert, run down to the ATM. Let's get Professor Koofy $100, please.
Professor Koofy.
That's what we'll call you.
Absolutely. Like, you have to have theories like, you know, black people are naturally, inherently more loving. White people are cold. They don't hug with the same capacitaciousness of the black man.
What else, Professor Koofy?
Also,
hold on, I'm right. Go ahead. That's right.
You're really putting me on the spot today.
Any other holidays?
White folk are stingy. They stingy by nature. Okay, if you look in a white man's pocket, it's very shallow. Black men's pockets, it's genetic.
Okay,
they're
horrible.
Deeper and more hollow. Yeah. To hold the love that they have to have because it was stripped from them.
Uh-huh. And what's your take on all the racism that's going on? You hear the stories going on all the schoolyards, on all the campuses, in every workplace around the country. Is there a reason behind that? Is there something we could do to rectify?
There's one thing that can rectify the situation.
And that would be?
Give me $100. That could rectify.
Does that make the check out to Professor Koofy? You just want cash?
Absolutely. Just cash can get to the babies quicker.
Okay, just don't organize a protest against the station.
I already called the people.
Hold on, please, Professor Koofy. Get in the back.
We want to celebrate diversity.
Bantu birthday.
Yeah. Of course. And also, what do I wear on that day? Anything special?
Well, it comes usually after Wantu Wazuri Day.
Right, Wantu Wazuri Day. Yeah. Take that down.
I'm trying to write that
exactly.
down.
Exactly. Wantu Wazuri Day comes every fourth Wednesday of the other April.
Okay.
I haven't changed because you don't have African traditions. I mean, difficult to recall.
We just don't want to offend you in any way.
Right. Peanut doesn't get her card.
Please do not organize a protest against the station.
Peanut is one of Hello, did someone call me? Hi, Danny. Hi, Carissa.
Hi. How are you, Peanut?
Listen, I'm Mr. Quillone.
You know, I don't want to correct you, Peanut, but we call her Teresa.
Huh? Teresa.
That's close enough.
Here's your tampons you loaned me.
You can keep it.
No,
I don't want them back.
I'll put them in a plaster bag.
It's okay, Peanut.
You're all right. Can I get a hug?
Of course.
Okie dokie. Hey, look, I got you some funky flops for Kwanzaa.
Oh, did you make these?
Kinda.
Like, do you celebrate Kwanzaa, Peanut?
Excuse me?
Do you celebrate Kwanzaa?
I do. It's funny you said Kwanzaa peanut because that's my new product.
Oh, really?
Kwanzaa peanuts.
Yeah. When you think peanut, what you think? Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Well, you should get Adam to buy some because he has a lot of money and he's your boss. So you should try to.
He don't want to see a black woman get a hair.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with it.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, I'm just.
Now, I came in here to talk to Teresa. I didn't come in here to talk to you.
Well,
why are you giving me the same guy?
The phones are ringing.
Forget you, man. Why you got your eye on me?
Listen,
I ain't even messing with you, Adam.
I don't want to go down this path.
Hold on, Teresa. Hold my.
You want me to hold your earrings?
Hey, Dee Dee, how you doing? Yeah, I'm about to whoop some ass. Hold on, I'll get right back to you. Hold my earrings, Teresa.
Okay, I got it.
Hold my earrings. I'm taking my flip-flops off. Now, come at me. I'm about to win.
Come at me.
I don't want any trouble.
Adam, you know what happened last time?
I don't want any trouble.
It was two rounds of pain.
Come on.
Snatch your gizzard out you.
Make me sick. I'm going to go out and answer these phone calls.
Hello? Who is it? Hello?
Now, listen. This is your boss. This is Adam Carolla.
I think it's Dee Dee. You know, Peanut likes to talk to Dee Dee.
Hey, Dee Dee, where you at, girl? Hey, listen, I can't access your on my page. Yeah. Is it Dee Dee, but is it DEA or DE? Hold on, they tripping. I gotta go. Text me. Forget you.
Hold on,
I gotta catch this. Dion, call me later. I gotta tell you something. Okay, something had happened at the mall. Okay, bye. Huh?
Who's this Dion? Do you have any boyfriend?
He ain't know none of your business.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. Oh, y'all tagged him? You're double-teaming me?
No.
You're double-teaming me?
No, we're just asking
Teresa, why you what?
I thought we were...
You know, Teresa's Jewish. I don't know if that's an
issue.
That's all
right. It's cool with me.
Okay. He's fine with that.
He's fine cool with me.
Okay.
Yeah, I ain't got no problem with Jewish people. I got a problem with some other people.
What kind?
Well, it's the kind of people that think they the boss of you.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, but we
think
are.
They own you.
We do have bosses.
I mean, I do.
You know what, Adam? I just want to snatch your nose off and
No.
Shout out to your rectum. Yeah, I said it, Pete. You get me upset. You get my pressure up.
You make me sick. I would go out of my thing at my desk. I ain't messing with
your hypertension is caused from you eating too much fried food.
And by the way, her sugar is up, too.
Thank you. I try not to drink no more Kool-Aid for breakfast.
Yeah, I'm back on that.
I like them sticky buns, too.
David Allen Greer in studio. We need to take a break. Ontario Improv this Thursday through Sunday. David captured a pig, raised it, and slaughtered it.
I did. Don't tell the LA County forces.
Good for you.
I'm on a diet though now. I started yesterday. I got to slim
He's
it up.
He's making himself some prosciutto or whatever the hell. Prosciutto.
Aren't you supposed to be Italian, man?
Prosciutto. I let Jimmy handle that. I don't know how it's going to work, but I want to hear the story. Okay, I want to know how you buy yourself a farm animal and have someone make it into cold cuts, and where do I get a pimento loaf, and what kind of animals that come in? We'll take ourselves a break. David Allen Greer next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, a look back at the 2006 ACE Award for Rant of the Year.
I really do worry about your unborn child, not only for the stress that it's going to put on. Yes.
Your problem.
Oh, yes, it is. You know why it's my... I'll tell you why. I pay taxes, bitch. That's why it's my problem. You understand? I have an ATM I'd like to go to without being stabbed. That's why it's my problem. I have kids who I'd like to send to public school. That's why it's my problem. I pay for prisons. I pay for rehab. I pay for everything. That's why it's my problem. Cletus over there has been put through the system so many times that it's probably cost the good taxpayers of Tennessee at least $1 million. Yes, it is our problem. Of course it's our problem. Listen, hold on. I'm not done yelling. Everyone has rights to do whatever they want until they start asking society to chip in. And then we should strip those rights away. Have as many kids as you want. Do whatever you want. But when you ask society to foot the bill for the kids, now becomes our problem. And guess what? We get a vote. You want to stop it? You have to nip it in the bud. You don't run around and look for every roach in the house and stomp on it. You go find the nest. And you burn it. Thank you.
Which rant will take home the ace this year? Find out December 13th, the 2007 ACE Awards on the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm going to burn your nest, Strasser.
My nest.
I pay for jails. I pay for rehab. I just would like to personally say thank you.
Where did you find white people that screw ups?
We had to go out of state.
Yeah.
I know I was here, and you guys were on a computer looking for white screw ups.
We were looking for that. It's hard. Yeah, you don't find so many in California, but as soon as you get into those red states.
What happened to those hillbilly people?
I was just wondering that.
I think they ate each other.
They all died, didn't they? Yeah. They all, like, died of pork or something.
I think they tried to beat the record for most hillbillies in a cider jug and suffocated. 19 was the standing record.
And you mean to tell me none of Peanut's rants are in the top 10? She's not as eloquent, but she, you know, you ain't nobody. So.
07, there's still a chance. That was 06.
Yeah, Peanut could be up for best fight.
Yeah.
David Allen Greer, otherwise known as my main man.
Dagaroni, baby!
In the studio, everyone loves Dag.
Leave it a death roll!
Ontario Improv on Thursday through Sunday this week. And then at the Bray Improv in the middle of December, and then at the end again at the Irvine Improv, making the rounds is David Allen Greer. Now, Dag, we were talking off the air about you and your livestock.
Yeah.
How did that work?
I just want to, clear up some misconceptions. I did not slaughter a pig. All right.
Right.
Here's what happened. Jimmy Kimmel's said that he wanted to go in on
Kimmel,
me with. With some swine, the four-legged hoofed beast.
I saw you on his show talking about that.
Yes.
Here's the thing about Jimmy. Jimmy loves cooking, loves eating, and probably wishes he had another hole to shove food into. He loves food that much. Loves food. And the problem is he's hit the ceiling on just going to good restaurants and eating nicely. He now has to take it to a new level.
Right. It's like with sex when it's got to go really kinky to keep you interested.
Getting a stiffy.
That's what it is, which is I've nailed Cindy Crawford every way to Sunday, bust out the gerbil.
Right.
That's the way that's the way it
so
works.
He's got to go in.
He's
the
looking
livestock.
To eat a gerbil, right. is what
just
I'm saying.
My mic over, get a good gander at your hands.
Yeah. So animal. Now, what was the plan? Dad?
Okay, so we're going to buy a pig. We're going to slaughter it. You get it. Here's what you do. You got to go to the farmer. I met this dude. It's like buying drugs. He was like, I got something coming up.
Uh-huh.
In about 30 days, why don't you put your number
You could find one for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to slaughter. And what you want to do is you want to be there when the pig is slaughtered because you want to take everything and also tell them how you want it cut. So I got a little nervous at the end. Jimmy was like, you know, feverish emails back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like two young girls plotting our runaway plan. And
Jimmy's greatest dream is to have a cut of bacon named after him. Ooh, after him.
Wow. See, I said, let me do some experiments. We're going to do this right. I don't want to waste a pig. So I got some pieces of pork. You got to go to your Chinatown. You got to go in the black neighborhoods, you know, on your way back from the airport.
Where they hang the stuff in the window.
Absolutely.
Right. Right.
So I'd go in there. And usually the black dudes be, hey, what's the right man? TV man. Be like, yeah, man, look, let me get a leg. And they're like, why, you don't want to do that, man. You don't want to do that. Uh-huh. I was like, come on, give me the piece of pork. So I got these pieces of pork. I've cured them. It's taken many months. It's almost a year.
How do you cure them?
You got to take the piece. You got to take an 18-pound fresh leg of pork. It has to be unfrozen. Mm-hmm. You have to wash it. You have to check. You have to beat it with a stick. You're beating it with a stick because you get the rigor mortis out of the muscles. You want to loosen it up. Then you got to smother it in
poor pig leg's got to be like, wow. I'm not dead enough for you. Yeah.
My dogs look at me like, dude.
Oh, man. They probably think you're masturbating.
Oh, yeah. I'd cut your leg right now.
Listen, that's what a dog, when a dog just looks up and is like, ooh. He sees you beating a big pork loin with a stick. He's like, owner's head, little me time for the owner.
Absolutely. And then, like, you know, I have a chocolate lab, and so he just sniffs around my feet like there's something.
So you beat it with a stick. You knock the rigor mortis out of it.
Rigor mortis out. Then you want to smother it, cover it in salt and spices. And you got to shove it in your refrigerator. You want to leave it in there for a good 30, 40 days.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And you have to touch and you make sure it has the right tenderness. You'd rinse it off. I hang it in my wine cellar for about 6 months. Then you want to
just
cover
hang it in the open?
Well, yes. And that's at 55 degrees. So it's like chemistry, man. It's really great. It starts shrinking. It gets more and more firm.
So when they're talking about like aged meat,
yes,
this is what they're talking about?
Absolutely, man. Aged meat. Much like Teresa, you an aged piece of meat. And I
mean,
you're really neat, which rhymes with meat. Teresa. You got the news, right?
Dag, by the way, essentially lives in a humidor.
I do.
You know, when you go to a nice wine shop on the west side and you just open the door and you kind of go, there's that essence about it. That's what Dag's house is. Good luck with the marriage and the kids, by the way.
Oh, well, it's getting all cleaned up. But listen, just to wrap it up. Anyway, it's taken a year.
You hang it, right?
Yeah, you've got to hang it, but then you pull it out of the wine cellar. I hung it in my kitchen at room temperature to really get it funky. And so now my wife's moving in.
Now, it doesn't
get
cooked yet. Hasn't been cooked.
No, you don't want it cooked.
You have never lived with your wife, but she's 8.5 months pregnant.
That's the way we do it, baby smarter.
And that's cured, and it never does get cooked. It never faces
you can cook
the heat.
It. No. Prosciutto is raw.
Right.
It is cured meat, much like Teresa. She's a raw cured piece of meat.
Now, what happened with...
It's like the ceviche of the pig family, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what happened with Jimmy?
I said, these are my experiments, Jimbo. That's what I call them. I say, Jimbo, this is my experiment. Let me get back to you. Let me test this. We want to know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is ready to be tasted. Mm. And that's what we're about to do. We're going to taste this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I made some sausage, some bracciola. I made the prosciutto. The prosciutto. Well, and a pig shoulder, you know, which is called the copa.
Uh-huh.
Copa.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to taste all this, figure out if I'm on the right track, and then we're going to get that pig and slice it up.
Well, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but I was over at Kimmel's house the other day, and I just stopped by, and he was in full hunting gear.
Uh-huh. Was
and
he with somebody else?
Well, he wasn't going after pig, but I said...
Tell me now, Adam. Was he with someone else?
No, Dag, I just...
You tell me he was with another black man. Was
he,
tell me now, Adam.
He was with Keenan Ivory Wayne.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know he was a cheater. I just feel so raw.
He said he called him the white David Alan Greer. And I said, wow. I said, that's win-win. That is win-win. Dag, he didn't. It's not like they were making love, although they were nude.
Don't talk to me.
I mean, was there any sign that Kimmel was pulling away from you, Dag?
I don't know, Teresa. I wrote him some emails. He didn't hit me back all the way, and I thought maybe it's because the writers were on strike. I'm sorry. Oh my God. Boy, I lose control of my bowels. And I don't know. You know, I was overly...
Dag, I don't want to. I don't want to rub salt. I don't want to.
Sorry, Dag.
I don't want to rub salt in your cured ham. But I turn the corner and open the closet, throw my overcoat in there, and Timmy Meadows was in there. Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live was in there, and he said, "This is like a smaller, even wider Dag." And I said, "Oh Jesus, Jimmy! When Dag finds out you've been hanging out with other brothers."
Please tell me that there was no cured meats hanging in there.
Wow.
It depends on if you can, too, Teresa.
It depends on if you consider Webster cured meat, because he was hanging by one leg.
You stuck the knife in and you turned it twice.
It was like a German butcher turn of the century.
I want to get out of here. It's a torture chamber. I just come down.
Then proceeded to sit down and say, I got to call Dag because someone needs to pick up the phone and explain what's going on. And I picked up the phone and I started dialing and I heard a voice on the other end say, hello. And I said, what? Hello? Hello? Someone had been calling in. It was Carl Weathers.
Oh my God. Teresa might be
not interested.
That's what he said. Yeah. And then Tommy Davidson came scurrying out from one of the cupboards. And I just...
You know, once you get to Bill Cosby, you've now hit every black guy I know.
Adam, you ripped my heart out. You put it in the shoebox, and you stomped on it.
We all ate a pizzone, drank some grape soda, and had a hug.
You are a cruel man, Mr. Crackle-O-Lee.
Of course, then Paul Mooney showed up and wrecked the mood.
Al Sharpton was there.
Oh, gosh.
I'll tell you who makes a good cured ham is that Terrence Howard.
How dare you?
You can tell it was a girl.
She goes, that Denzel Washington. Now that's a black man. Not interested.
Actually, I'm so into this. There's meat all over my house, man. I'm trying to pitch this show called, you know, David Alan Greer's Meat.
And how about Meat David Alan Greer, M-E-A-T?
That's a terrible idea, but thank you.
I kind of like it.
And it's like the cover's like Meet the Beatles, but it's just me with a big piece of meat.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Dark meat.
Ooh.
Dark Meat starring with Dark Meat with David Alan Greer. Come on, brother.
Wow, I like that.
Come on.
Put it up against White Meat with the dog, Bounty Hunter.
That's right.
Ooh. Perfect. When are you white people going to expel him from the race? That is just...
He thinks of himself as black.
No, he's black. We don't want him.
He quit.
No one wants him.
You didn't see one of the Ghost of the Slaves. He was on Larry King the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we don't want him. Bear with us. Please, Mr. King.
He wants to be buried in an unmarked grave on Slave Hill.
Why should they not want that?
You know what? Not even that. How long was that meeting with his publicist who said, come up, give me something better,
give
baby.
Something.
Come on.
The slaves are buried.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's good.
Now let me get my pen.
You'll be buried with the slaves.
Okay.
Because that'll make up for what you said.
Okay.
You can
anybody
sell
else? Round robin. Anybody else?
How about if this day forth I promise to pronounce ask as axe? Would that...
All right. Next person.
Or how about we'll do Earth. I'll do Earth. How about that? No? Nothing?
Okay.
Terry, Danny, anybody else?
You never wear the color white?
How about this? During the interview, Bound Dog, when you're interviewing, work Axe and Earth into it. So go.
I got something.
Go Axe anyone on this Earth. I'm not racist.
I got something right here.
What?
Go in blackface, but get it like a giant tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Last forever.
Tattoo.
Forever.
Right.
Hands in the middle. Come on, bingo time. Let's do it.
I'm. We went off on a tangent there, but wow. I did want to finish and mention that Jimmy was not hanging out with any brothers.
I'm black too.
He was in full hunting gear. He was ready to go out and hunt. And I said, Jimmy, what are you going after? And he said, the ultimate prey. And at that second, a naked teenage Mexican kid ran right past me. And I said, good God, you've turned the corner, Kimmel. You have to get back to work.
You know what, Adam? I just want to say, I want to apologize to you guys, Dan, because, you know, I was just in such a lather because I was upset. I just thought, you know.
Never happened. Never happened.
I kind of went over bounds. I just want to say to 1, 2, 3, you guys, apologize. I made a mistake.
Thanks, Dag. It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. Yeah, Kimmel. Kimmel, a big fan of not only the sliced Italian meat, but the brothers as well. So, Dag. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Get your cured ham and head over to Jimmy's Sunday. Bring it with you.
Well, I kind of had a, you know, I don't want to.
You tried it already, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You tried it.
I'm not like, a little bit. Not that kind of guy.
How could you not taste it after that long?
Because the whole point is to try it in front of everyone else. I have no idea how this will taste. I have absolutely no idea. The only thing you do is you stick a clean... You stick this long... It's called like a shunt of wood. It has to be a clean shunt of wood. Pierce the ham, and you have to smell it. Because to see that it's good.
You know what would be funny? You brought your side of ham over to Kimmel's house. Leg of ham, and then Monday morning it was a Jonestown situation. 75 white guys in their 30s all slumped over computers.
The day the funny died.
Checking their fairy tale football scores, just bodies spread out all over the place.
That would be horrible. And you know, the bad part is I would be the one to survive.
Yeah.
And then I have to go on the Larry
King thing. You got the enzyme.
Right.
Exactly.
What the natural enzyme.
The N-word enzyme.
What exactly happened here? Well, Dad came over and shoved his wood into this pigling and everybody just died.
Yeah, and that guy who killed Kanye's mom would be interviewing
Jan Adams.
Can we take a sidebar for a minute?
Please.
I was... wow, I saw him in a club one night.
Kanye.
No, the doctor guy.
Jan Adams.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I recognize him from TV, and I'm just saying, he floated through the room in a white suit with a couple of hoochies on each arm. And I hate to talk about Spidey sense because every time I hear someone say that, you say this is bull. But what a dark cloud surrounded that guy.
Just not really, the last guy you want to see before you go under.
No, not the dude who, you know, you're all partying in the condo like, yeah, I think I'll stay.
Here's the problem. I don't want any guy who gets laid with any regularity working on me.
Yeah.
I want the guy that's just hanging out at home with his face buried in a textbook, crying himself to sleep every night. That's the doctor I want.
Yeah. I want the surgery center in the mall.
Yeah, I want the guy with the big schnoz and the bald spot who never got laid in high school or college and couldn't stop hitting them textbooks. Yeah. Not the guy that was making the scene.
Or guys that invent words. Like, it's not a... You said this is a hospitet? No, yeah. It's not really a hospital, but it's kind of a little petite hospital.
David Alan Greer can be found at the Ontario Improv this Thursday through Sunday. He's a friend. He's a lover. Go support him. I love David Alan Greer.
So,
speaking
Adam,
of
are you
going to
be coming down this weekend? Catch the
show? They don't have a North Hollywood Improv?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, are you performing there on New Year's Eve also?
I'm performing at the Irvine Improv, Teresa White.
That would be not. I mean, it's a good time to prepare for your New Year's plans.
What a way to ring in the new year.
Why don't you bring your girlfriend, your man, down?
Because he's usually at Mr. Pfister on New Year's.
Oh, ring.
That hurts. Hear what I just did? Bingo.
Yep. I turned it back on you people. You
ring in the new year with Greer and you guys.
And Teresa's lover's rear. Look out.
Keep an eye out on the Food Network for dark meat with David Alan Greer.
Also, you know what? I'm doing dates. I'm doing stand-up dates with Damon Wayans and Tommy Davidson. We did a couple of dates. I think we're going to do more next year at a town near you. It's a bunch of fun.
You just all hang out and talk about what a dick Jim Carrey is.
Wow.
You know what, that's all you guys do, right?
Every time I come in this damn mid room,
would he pick up the phone
I
if you
feel
called?
As if I am naked.
Ring. How many rings?
Well, if he has caller IDs now.
I really don't have to work anymore because I'm Jim Carrey. Leave a message after.
Please try your call again later.
And he's Jim, and you're like, hey, man, Jim. Me, David, you know, I just, did I see the back of your head in Range Rovers?
Jim, I'm going to be down at the Improv in the City of Industry. If you're not doing anything Thursday night, why don't you come catch a late set? It'd be awesome.
Hey, buddy, it's me, Dangarodi. Woo! Tustin Chuckle Hut is doing a midnight show. First day of Kwanzaa.
Please try your call again later.
I know the Corolla should point fingers here. Oh.
TNN is replaying Jumanji.
I just wanted to give you a little heads up, a little TiVo marker.
All right. Before
I've called the same phone number for a year now and never spoken to Adam once. I remember 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I'm supposed to grab a to-go menu to see if the restaurant next to my house sells borscht. And I remember.
Yes,
does he ever answer one of my phone calls or return one of my phone calls? No. Wow. He is my Jim Carrey.
But wow. Really, here's a philosophical question to go out.
We talk quite a bit.
Come on.
He picks up my calls.
Look.
And so do you.
Do you have to call someone back who you're going to see at 5:30 in the morning?
Right.
No. Oh, I didn't say I actually wanted you to call me.
Oh,
back.
Okay.
I just
I'm
said
with you,
had
dude.
To.
I'm with you, dude.
All right.
No, I'm done with you at 10:01. I just am pointing out that you don't call back.
Dag, my main man, Ontario Improv, Thursday through Sunday. Andy Dick, everybody. Coming in studio.
I'm up and out of here.
Next. Eat fresh.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
Squirrels, 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 squirrels. I love squirrels.
Squirrels,
squirrels, squirrels, squirrels, squirrels. Better than girls.
Girls.
Squirrels won't parade around dressed like sluts. They never say no to my sweet sack of nuts.
Oh, yeah!
Squirrels.
Okay. Yeah. And now Andy Dick on The Adam Carolla Show.
Awesome stuff. I thought that was James Taylor. That was Andy Dick.
That's right.
That was JT.
That was my blackface, like my Al Jolson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Eat fresh.
That was your John Lovitz. That's not. Yeah.
Had a little of the mask in it. You know what I mean? Remember that? Speaking of Jim Carrey earlier, had a little smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever
that did. Yeah. I was trying to do a black, like, oh, yeah. You know, with the.
Didn't work out for you.
Andy Dick is in studio. Danny Rohn, first time director, name of his DVD.
Yeah, I didn't talk about it last time.
Which is out now. Well, we got so caught up in many other issues as we're apt to do.
Yeah, and you know how many I have.
Yeah. Well, you seem.
Better.
Yeah.
Don't I?
Yes.
Well, I'm on the schedule of getting up early, so I don't get up as early as you guys. But
what do you got going? Are you sober?
Yeah.
You are?
Uh-huh.
Now,
I don't count.
Thank you, folks.
Yeah, I'm not a big counter.
I'm not into it.
About 9 hours.
Yeah, I guess so.
About a month sober.
But even more than that, because before that, I wasn't getting drunk, but I was drinking.
You were chipping, right. As Dr. Drew would always say.
Is that what he calls it?
It's a great term, chipping.
Oh, going into meetings, grabbing
they
a chip, running out and drinking.
No, although that would work, too. He does it more with, like, guys that are doing coke, but not a lot of coke. But right. They will be doing a lot of coke again soon. It's just sort of chipping.
Chippers are people who also smoke a few a day, but don't really smoke. They're called chippers.
Yeah.
Well, why chippers? What's
I have
chip?
No idea.
What's the chip part?
I guess it's sort of like chipping away at this. Stone, you're not ingesting the whole stone, but you're just taking it apart.
That's
but eventually,
me. That's
you're,
me. Eventually,
you're,
I'll be,
your gravel so will turn into a boulder.
If you're chipping away at the rock, you're getting some good blow. First of all,
Andy, you look great.
I get
thank
that
you,
joke.
Thank you. So, Danny would be a slam it shutter. Like you just stopped cold turkey, right?
Yeah, but after my fifth try,
it took me
15 years to get a year.
But I've been to rehab 9 times, but the very first time I had 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 years.
What got you back?
Was there an event? Because it really is drinking for me, by the way. It's not, it's, you know, I, those were powdered donuts that.
Right.
In the picture. But what got me back?
Well, 3 years of sober.
How'd you fall off the
wagon? I remember the night I went back. I had bought a house in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the backyard in the jacuzzi that I built.
Mm-hmm.
I had it built.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there, and the sun was setting. It was gorgeous. It was not too hot, not too...
Right.
Lassie!
Mm-hmm. And you're in
and
there.
And Lassie's licking my face. And I was with a couple friends, and one of them had a joint.
Uh-huh.
And they lit it up, and I just said, just give me a little toke off that. And I just did, and then that got the ball rolling.
And you're back.
I was back now, with a vengeance.
But pot's not even really your drug of choice, right?
No, my lungs are my weakest link of my body, so I don't even like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and also when I smoke pot nowadays, if I do, it doesn't do what it used to do. When I first started, I remember unwinding like a tightly wound up rubber band on one of those airplanes, you know, mm-hmm. those airplanes with the propeller.
Yeah,
and I was like, I was triple knotted up.
Right.
And it was like letting go of the propeller and laughing hysterically.
Everything was funny.
Everything.
Well, you know, the thing about
dripping
pot,
water was funny. Literally dripping water.
The pot stays the same, but we keep changing. And that's what I say to everyone all the time now. Like, I'd be scared to do mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Because I would get high on mushrooms, and I would walk into my kid's room and see my two twins and go, oh, my God, I have to take care of these two beings. How's this going to work? Mm-hmm. And then I would yell, freak out, and I would light myself on fire, and I would run down the street in a circle.
Yeah, or throw them in the river because you're sending them to heaven.
Yes.
That's what that one woman did.
Yes. She drowned her five kids and sent them to heaven.
Yes.
That's how she was taking care of them.
When you're 19 and your only thing to your name is a crappy job that you don't care about losing, a girlfriend that you know you're not going to marry, and your transportation is a VW Squareback, you can get high all you want because you don't think about anything. Like, mm-hmm. there's just no bills to pay. There's no mortgages. There's no twins. There's nobody depending on you. I think it's weird. Now, booze is good when people are depending on you.
Why?
Booze is good when people aren't depending on you.
Why?
Because the thing about booze, like, you get high on mushrooms and you go, oh, my God, I'm going to have to pay for these kids' college. You get drunk on booze and it's like, they're 18 months. They can fend for themselves. Hey, you want a hit? You want to draw? What, are you uptight, sweetie?
I've had enough to drink. You drive home. You want the pedals.
All right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm making a big change. I don't know if I told you. Yesterday, I'm very serious.
I'm really laughing.
Remember, remember my building that I owned?
And, I thought there was a third gender he was going to have sex with.
Yeah, I remember. You owned a building. And
just yesterday, the title went through and everything was recorded, as they call it, the transfer over to somebody else. I do not own that building. I moved out. And I don't actually have a place to live right now. I'm living on, I'm doing the couch tour.
You want to crash at Danny's place?
I would love it.
But I just built a guest room.
Whose couch are you crashing?
Me and my son, though. My son, he's here with me today.
He comes off the old block. Yeah.
No, he's got his ducks in a row.
He's 18?
He's 19.
Is this the one that had sex with your girlfriend?
Yeah, he's here.
Wow.
Where is he?
So the two of you.
He's giving a moral,
by
the way.
We are just going around living on friends' couches, and we are going to Vegas for a month, all this month, to live with my friend. My friend, his name is Danny also. He's one of the clowns in La Rev at the Wynn. So he's like a Cirque du Soleil clown.
Now you're just trying to get away from the bad influences in the building?
Yeah, it's more than that.
So
but
go
that's
to
part
Vegas.
No. You'd think, that's the worst.
That's what I think.
You could get sober anywhere.
No, it's not about that. It's about being with friends that really care about you. I've known Danny for over 20 years. This guy really cares. He lives with his girlfriend. It's going to be like, I'm now staying at my business manager's house, and I slept the last three nights better than I have in probably 10 years because I realized why. I'm sleeping under in a house where there's a couple, and I feel taken care of as opposed to being the guy that's
the
supposed
childhood
to be
you
taken.
Never had.
Yeah, exactly.
Sleeping on a couch that's stuffed with your money.
Let me say, it's your manager.
They let me have their son's room because he's away at college, so it's very comfortable.
Let me give a couple observations here. Nice.
Here he goes.
Your 19-year-old son. I mean, I remember when me and my dad moved to Vegas and slept on a clown sofa when I was 19.
It's
It is. Wait, you Jews wouldn't understand. Here. You have bar mitzvahs.
It's your Gentile bar mitzvah.
Gentiles, on the 19th birthday, you go to either Laughlin.
Right.
Or Nevada, or somewhere in Vegas, and you sleep on a clown's Murphy bed.
Right, and that's
for a week.
When you're a man, officially.
Right.
Now, this is Andy's son is coming in. Very handsome young kid.
Yeah, you are.
Very.
Yeah, let's...
got to be able to defend him. I don't want him to be talked about unless he can
What is your name, son?
Lucas.
Lucas.
Oh, hi, Lucas.
Now, Lucas, Andy had you at a very young age because Andy's not an old man. So you had
like 20, 21.
I'd like to hear right now, Andy never had me. I'd like to hear that just immediately right off the bat.
Yeah. You had not only did you have a young father, but your young father was Andy Dick.
I know.
There's issues. Know.
What's that been like, Lucas?
It's been fun. I got to tell you.
It's really? It makes me feel really secure.
I'm not surprised.
I want to know about...
First of all, I wasn't really around and not really my choice for a long stretch. In the beginning, I was there every day. We were married, my wife and
first
I.
First week?
No, for
never
like,
left the house.
No, for 5 years.
5 years.
Five or more years. And then by the time he reached 10,
right.
there was a separation. There was a very bad...
Your wife,
relationship with my wife.
But she stayed in the same house, and you guys all lived in the same house, right?
Yeah, so that lasted, there was a 10-year period up until he was 10 where everything was great. But then from 10 to now,
right.
I haven't seen him that much. I mean, I was lucky to see him once a week, if that. Sometimes once a month, sometimes not for a couple months.
So, right. Lucas, you guys, now do you have resentment toward your father?
No.
You don't?
Not at all.
Are you sure? Not like...
Hang out with me, brother. I think we could work a little out. Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, I think it kind of saved me almost. You know, if I was growing up around all that craziness, I would have been like cracked out right now.
All right.
Yeah, so instead you're wearing a baseball cap with wings.
You look like the FTD man.
Oh, he looks like a normal kid. He's a good looking kid.
You are a good looking
kid. So you're happy, in fact, that you were with your mom because maybe it was more stable.
Yeah.
But were you embarrassed sometimes when your dad would get into very public kinds of trouble?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I can't do anything about that.
Well, I know you can't do anything about it, but if you were molested, you couldn't do anything about it either, but you could resent the person that caused the molestation, yes?
Were you ever molested? That's what he wants to know.
No, I want to know if there's some resentment toward having Andy Dick for a dad.
There must be, buddy. But the thing is that
Andy,
I have apologized. I have apologized, and I've said what I tell him is, look, if anybody ever does approach you and say, you know, oh, Andy Dick is your dad. Oh, you effing homo or whatever like that. You are not me. He's not me. I'm not him. We are completely two different people.
He's gay.
Right.
So
that's
what have you
why.
Suggested that he do? Because he's a strapping him. How tall are you?
Tell him.
So you're 6'1".
And
if somebody came up to him and said, oh, your dad's Andy Dick, you're a big homo.
Literally say the sentence, I am not my father. You know, in fact, he went the opposite way. And I'm happy that he's this completely straight. You know, this is weird, but if he was gay or if he had any of those inclinations, I'd feel weird. I wouldn't like it.
Really?
And that's weird. Isn't that weird?
Why? Because, why, Andy?
Because I know how hard it's been for me.
Right.
It's been really weird.
Yeah.
it's been hard and weird.
Speaking of hard and weird, worst cop duo ever. Hard and weird. Lucas, you did lay down with Andy's girlfriend some months back, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we get into that?
She was my age, all right? She was my age.
You know she was with your dad.
Not at the time.
Yeah, you did.
I must say that.
You just bumped into her at a bar and it ended up the two dicks.
You knew that she was my girlfriend.
I'll tell you what. We need to take a break. I would love to get to the bottom of this story.
We'll talk about my movie.
And we'll talk about Danny Rohn, first time director. Yes.
Oh, good.
I give it a massive thumbs up.
Thank you. Great.
Andy Dick, you know, Andy Dick is one of these guys that gets a lot of publicity for being crazy, but what people forget about him is just how funny and talented he actually is.
Holy shit. The Assistant was one of the funniest shows I ever saw.
But the Andy Dick story I want to hear is about young Lucas getting it on with his young girlfriend. And by the way, Dad, if you're listening, if you can find me a foxy 19-year-old to hump, all is forgiven, brother. I will wipe the slate clean.
All those just want you to know you that. Never went to, it's
all forgotten. All way back in the rear view of that car, Alicia.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with Andy and his son next.
There's a...
back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Now more with Andy Dick and his son Lucas on the Adam Carolla Show.
Uncomfortable.
Who is saying that?
That's the voice of the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, it's like a computer.
Yeah.
Dude. I like that.
I waited for you, man.
Where is this Stoner Dawson? He'll show his stone face.
Oh, yeah.
Voiceover artist extraordinaire. Andy Dick is in here with his young son, Lucas.
The reason I'm going to Vegas is because of Lucas. Lucas wants to go hang out with Danny Passer in Vegas, the head clown of La Rev at the Wynn, because he wants to learn from
Talk
him.
Talk about
he
lofty does. Goals.
You want to learn?
You want to hang out with the head clown
no, this
in
guy,
Vegas?
This guy is extremely talented.
Would you like to be a clown?
Well, no, but he has a lot to teach me.
About life?
About what? How many people you can fit in a little car?
How many scarves you can pull out of his sleeve?
He studied at Commedia dell'Arte, which is a really prestigious clown school. It's been around since the 1300s.
Oh, yeah. Now, listen, all my buddies from North Hollywood, that's all we spoke about growing up.
Well, Lucas wants to be an actor. And he does improv a couple times a week.
To
sharpen his skills. Yeah. He's learning.
All right. Well, I will then throw out these suggestions. First, a location on top of your dad's girlfriend.
Right. A style.
Motivation. Porn. A boner. A style. 70s porn. Let's get to that story.
You're obsessed with the fact that my son, I was going out with an 18-year-old girl.
Yes.
Then she was 19. And now, I don't know, she's 22 or 23. Well, we're not going out anymore. But then one night.
Too mature for you?
She called me up the next morning. She called me up in the morning crying, saying, I slept with your son. She felt very guilty about it.
She's the whore. Oh, excuse me.
And then I found, but I gave him a high five. I wasn't angry at all. I wasn't angry at her. I wasn't angry at him. It's more appropriate that they go out.
How
is it that every time I see you, you're bleeding from somebody hitting you with something after you hit them with a beer bottle, yet you're not pissed off at your girlfriend or your son for boning each other?
Because it's more appropriate. They're the same age. It's weird that
I have a twin sister. We're the same age. Does that make it appropriate if I go over and bone her?
Oh, yeah.
That's a YouTube
moment. Your sister.
Throw that on TMZ.
This is your dad's girlfriend. This freaking horrifying.
I thought it was great. High five.
All right. Well, let me just do a little history here.
He did it with her in her dorm room.
Did you ask immediately who was bigger and who was better?
I did.
You did?
I did. I said, she said, A, he wasn't very good, and B, he wasn't very big, because I've never seen my son's penis.
Wow.
And he said he wasn't very big.
The days,
but that did not make me feel good.
No.
That made me feel like,
interesting.
What? No. I want my son to have a big penis, and I want him to be good in bed.
Well, the good in bed thing is, how old are you?
19.
So this is like 30 seconds we're talking here.
Yeah, and I found out later she was lying to make me feel
better.
Wait
a second.
She told me she was lying.
Everyone,
later.
Calm down for a second. I want to do the math here, because you say that Lucas is 19 now.
Yeah.
And you say that she was 19 or 18 or 19, right. And now she's 22. Well, then that means...
How old is she?
She's
20. Oh, wait, you were 19. Underage when you had sex with her.
How old?
I was 18, I think.
No, I think you were underage.
Well,
you were
somebody's underage. Aging faster really? Than
no,
somebody else.
He was underage.
And
no, he was underage.
You were 17.
You were underage.
He was underage.
You were underage and under your dad's girlfriend. This is a big night out for you.
Now, you must
but
have
that's
fallen
not
in
illegal
love.
Because he was the one that... Did you seduce her? I mean...
No.
Plus, that's not illegal either way.
Look, who cares? We'll grab the legal part. Let's talk about the emotional part. You must have fallen for her, right? I mean, was she your first?
No.
No. Okay.
When did you become sexually active?
When?
15, 16?
Seriously. You had actual sex when you were 15?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. How old was the girl?
Oh, 17.
Really?
Yeah.
An older woman. Yeah.
And so you were experienced.
Yeah.
Even though by all accounts
you couldn't
tell.
How many women had you been with by the time you got with your dad's girl?
Oh.
I'd been with three before I humped my mom. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
How many?
Not that many.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so now you get with her, but she's a very attractive woman. She's a couple years older than you. I could see most guys falling for that. Were you in love with her?
No.
You had a crush on her? A little bit.
She's a hot, hot girl.
Well, here's what I'm saying.
Right, but when you're 17-year-old
guy and you're having sex with a really hot 19-year-old, most 17-year-old guys end up getting a crush on them and follow them around like puppy dogs. You weren't bothered that she went back to your father the following night. You didn't say like, "Don't go."
You weren't
going to
tell me.
I called you. No.
Yeah, you called me after she had told me, and you knew she called.
No, I didn't.
Well, then they both told me without.
No, I didn't.
They both confessed, which was, I think,
Lucas,
that's great.
Lucas, be honest. Yeah. You weren't going to tell your dad.
I did. No,
you
I did.
You did tell me.
Why? Why would you tell him?
Yeah, why?
I felt horrible.
No. Let me tell you, I didn't care.
The same moment, didn't care. I was like, great.
The same moment he had sex with his girlfriend, he screwed his dad. That's what happened.
Yeah, it's payback.
It's payback.
Payback for Pops.
Oh, you know what? The thing is I don't know if I told you last time I was here. I'm doing a show, a reality show on VH1. I'm doing my own.
Yeah.
So you can see this kind of stuff. Let's get to that on the show.
All right.
Just tune into the show.
Wow. So now...
And he'll be in it.
Now...
Yep. I caved in. I'm doing a reality
show. So Lucas, who claims not to have... Look, if he didn't have... Having sex with her, that's not the I resent Pops part. That's I'm 17 and I got a boner part. The part where he calls
Maybe
you to
was,
tell
though.
You... about it. That's payback for Pops.
You know, it was.
Yeah. Maybe.
See, that's why I'm saying there's some underlying resentment that you've stuffed somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be. Stuffed it. Your girlfriend. I mean, seriously.
Andy laughs like a witch.
There's some resentment that you stuffed somewhere.
Your dog, too.
Lucas, you seem pretty comfortable with your dad and with his sexuality.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I am. I have to be.
I feel more awkward than he does. I wish I wasn't the way I was. It's just how it happened.
Why?
Know?
There's nothing wrong with you.
Well, everybody else seems to think
well,
so.
Well, the don't. Good, I don't Thanks, either. I, you know why? Because I don't judge, number one. That's and number nice. Two, I think perfect timing, because if your father had been born 100 years ago, he would have been burned as a heretic immediately.
As a witch.
Yes, they would have dumped
Especially
him in a well.
Especially with that laugh.
He would have been the first guy to be lit on fire and dumped in a well.
The first guy.
By the way, that may still happen.
Yes. Oh. So you guys are going to Vegas.
Going to Vegas just for a month, and then
You're
we're going to come
chill
back
out
here and move into the valley somewhere, because I will be closer to my other two kids. I'm basically doing the right thing. I'm doing things for my kids as opposed to doing the selfish thing for myself.
And
I'm doing things for my kids.
You'll make a little money off the sale of the house.
I made a lot of money off the sale of my building. I can actually retire.
You bought that building when?
Not that long ago, 4 years ago. But commercial real estate right now is a great time to sell, because the market in houses has
dropped.
Well,
just because it'll make everyone freak out across the country.
What?
You bought it for how much 4 years ago?
Around $1.5 million.
$1.5 million.
I doubled it, so I made $1.5 million.
For $3 million bucks 4 years later.
So I made $1.5 million.
Nice,
Andy.
That's
Dick,
a lot
real
of money.
Estate, right.
For doing nothing.
Yeah.
For living in a building.
The bisexual Donald Trump.
Would you please?
Bye, die. Bye, Don.
Smoking sucks.
So's Andy Dick, everybody. Hey,
no.
Andy. Jesus. All right, we got to take a break. Danny Rohn, first time director, is the name of the DVD. I promise you, it's good. It's out now.
You can
on
buy
DVD.
It or rent it.
You can buy it or rent it.
I made that movie for $200,000 of my own money. And now I'm going to do it again, now that I have some cash in my pocket.
Oh, Lucas, good times with Pops in Vegas.
Good times.
Although, I don't know how his track
By
record
the way,
is.
Can I just tell you this in all honesty? What happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas.
Yes.
There's stuff you can bring home with you.
Good
so
times
cool.
Sleeping on the clown sofa.
We'll keep you updated.
Make sure you wear the red nose for protection, if you know what I'm saying.
We'll take ourselves a break. T.
Yeah.
Plug the news, baby girl.
What do K-Fed, Perez Hilton, YouPorn, and Rascal Flatts have in common? I will tell you.
We will connect the dots when we come back.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
We've heard a lot of talk lately about weather-related fire danger, but with the holidays now upon us, there is another major fire threat to worry about: Christmas trees.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Mark the Poet quickly has a poem about Bald Brian before we get into the news. Mark?
Hey, good morning, Ace Man.
What's happening?
Good times here in Seattle. Good morning, Teresa. And
good morning.
Morning.
I love you all, but for the longest time, Brian was so cool to me, so I had to write this. People have said Sir Mark can write a poem without even trying, so I decided to spit a fat rhyme for you, Bald Brian. I'm not lying or being a wiener. His six samples are a sign. He's come a long way from being phone screener. He earned his name on Love Line. My mind perplexes at his ninja reflexes. The cherries pop when he busts a drop. Running circles around the competition like the Anunnaki did our crop. Doesn't answer his MySpace. May or may not like the boys. Perhaps busy with his Transformers or his collection of Star Wars toys. His sound effects were bullets. He'd bring you to the slaughter. Overcoming his chubby past unlike his baldness at the alma mater. His fake Jack Silver is hilarious. Skilled sound effects, I give praise. You should know it. He dubbed me the poet. Hey, real Jack, give Bri a raise.
Wow.
Nicely done. That's
nicely,
one of your best.
You won me over.
Thanks. Mark.
Yes, sir.
Nice job. Now get back to the video store.
Roger that, video store.
Good times. Yeah, all the nutty people, that's where they were.
Is that where they were?
Through my experience, it's hard to be like tatted and insane and work many places, but the video store is one of them. Not the big chain ones, the Blockbuster ones, the corner ones.
Right. Mom and pop.
But they can usually pick really good movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they've seen everything 10 times. Right. And can ruin it for you in advance. T?
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Details Magazine has come out with the Details Power 50. That is a list of the most influential men under 45.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
At number one, Zac Efron, Shia LaBeouf, and the Disney Kids.
Who the hell are they?
Zac Efron.
They're in High School Musical.
Oh, yeah. Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf is not in High School Musical, but he's in Transformers.
Yeah. I don't know how any of this stuff works. Like, Shia LaBeouf is short and not really charismatic, if you ask me. Not particularly good looking. A decent actor, but aren't they dime a dozen?
Well, they say in Details that if you think you can escape Disney's mind-controlling power, think again. Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake, Ryan Gosling, and even Steven's Shia LaBeouf, who stars in next summer's installment of Indiana Jones, were grown in Disney's hothouse.
Yeah, well, that's it.
That's how it's done, too. I think they grew them.
Yeah.
At number seven.
It's a puppy mill for people.
It is. And some of them are very talented.
Yeah.
At number seven, Kevin Federline and Larry Burkhead.
Now, you know what it's... Oh, hold on a second. I got to vomit into a trash can. First off, the Disney thing. It's like the old Soviet Union Olympic team from, 30 years ago. They get hold of them when they're zygotes, and they immediately start them training, and then they must destroy us when they run into us 20 years later. Right. Our guys are amateurs. Our guys are from the streets of Detroit. They're in and out of trouble, and the reason they got into boxing at age 16 and a half is because it was that or go to the federal penitentiary. They start raising these guys on treadmills before they can walk. Disney's doing the same thing with their kids, probably beaked up on roids.
I don't know what this Miley Talent Cyrus roids. Is bringing in, but it's got to be big bucks.
Oh, my God.
Is that Hannah Montana?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God, what a megastar. I don't even know what she is exactly, but I have friends that assume I can get tickets to things.
Yeah.
And everybody asked me if I could get tickets to Hannah Montana, and I could not. With every favor I could pull from anyone, could not get them.
She is so big, she made her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, cool again.
Really? Yeah, she did.
That's
because
not easy.
Billy Ray plays her pops on the show. Mm-hmm.
Number seven, titled The Good Fathers.
Well, no, wait a minute. I'm back on these two.
K-Fed and Larry Burkhead are the seventh most influential men under 45.
But influential in what?
Well, first off, Burkhead should be, she really just replaced the Burke with a dick. And that would be a more fitting title for him because I saw that idiot walking. I saw him on Entertainment Tonight. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, breaking news. Burkhead is heading down to a very trendy Robertson Boulevard to Kitson. What's that shop called?
Kitson.
He's going down there. What kind of J.O. goes to Kitson to buy their 17-month-old a T-shirt? I'll tell you who. The one who knows the paparazzi is going to be standing out in front of it, because who the F buys their 17-month-year-old $110 short-sleeve T-shirt that the kid's going to grow out of or spill jam on in 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
He also made sure to always face the baby out toward the camera when he was walking.
Right, and then pulled the super ultra deluxe J.O. move. Hey, fellas.
Yeah.
Could I have a little privacy? Look, go online and buy something, you J.O., or just go down there and bend over and spread your ass. But don't go down there and go, hey, fellas, I'm here with my child. First off, what day is it? What time is it?
Yeah.
Aren't we in the middle of the week? Isn't it the middle of the day? Aren't dudes supposed to have jobs, not walking their kids down to spend $130 on effing T-shirt at Kitson? What a puss.
I'd rather be shot by the paparazzi drinking a pint of kerosene than buying a $100 T-shirt for a baby.
Oh, he probably didn't even buy anything. He probably just went over there, did a lap at Kitson, and then walked out holding a kid in front of the camera.
Yeah, showing what a good dad he is.
Look, the guy is a dullard at best and maybe a retard at worst. He's a cute guy who seems to mean well, probably got caught up in stuff, and has zero to offer. Zero. You ever heard that guy interviewed? It's like talking to a hot high school chick. I don't know. It's cool. I don't know. We thought it'd be fun. I was waiting for him just to yell, he's dreamy, and see a little heart bubble pop out of his head. I bet he dots his eyes with hearts. Look, and here's the only thing worse than these guys. The only thing worse than these guys are the people that decide it's news. Larry Burkhead is who? He did what? He forgot to pull out when he was on top of a chick that was...
Details Magazine.
Jesus Christ. How the hell are these two? How the hell are these two on this
list? According to Details, they are America's new parental role models. They go on to say, we all expected Kevin Federline and Larry Burkhead to crash and burn as fathers. Instead, by being more visible presences in their children's lives than many Hollywood A-listers, they emerge as unlikely candidates for Dad of Year.
How about because they have time?
Look, their tongue is firmly pressed in their cheek. They're not serious. And role models for all the young boys who want to grow up and marry super rich chicks who can then support them for the rest of their lives. Dad role models are supposed to have dad jobs.
Right. That'd be nice.
Not sugar mamas that take care of them or kick off and take care of them.
I'm pretty sure Andy Dick is a better role model as a dad.
I'd be the world's most attentive pops, too, if somebody just went out and dropped off a boatload of money and I got to sit home every day with my kids or head down to Kitson at noon on Monday and do a little shopping spree with someone's money who died 2 years earlier.
God, that sounds good.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go down to Kitson.
I'm jealous. But geez, what a retard.
Okay, let's talk about the most influential people, young people, at number 12, 13, and 14. At number 12, the two guys who founded Google. They're both 34. And then YouTube. The founders are ages 28 and 30. And now, at number 14, YouPorn, founded by a guy who's 27 years old. He's a Stanford grad. He uses the alias Stephen Paul Jones, claims to be 27. He launched the porn version of YouTube. No one had even thought of that. Since its debut in August of 2006, the user-generated video sharing site YouPorn has become the web's most popular adult site with more than 15 million unique visitors a month.
30 seconds from now, 15 million in one.
Well, they're not so unique. They share a few things. They have a couple things in common. I know they call them unique visitors. They're not that unique. Good times.
Yeah, YouPorn.
All right. Well, at least you didn't. I was ready for you to mention like Nicole Richie or something. And
I'm going
vomit.
To in a minute, but I should also say Rascal Flatts, number 18. Those guys are 37, 32, and 36. They're selling a lot of records. And of course, Ryan Seacrest, who's 33.
That's one of those Red State things, the Rascal Flatts things. Like, I don't know a Rascal Flatts song, don't know a person that knows one, don't know someone who has a CD that has one.
Oh, you know a person who knows one.
Oh, Paul Bryan.
You do?
Really?
Oh.
What is up with you?
I'm aware of it.
Okay.
By the way, couldn't pull up YouPorn because CBS has access to
it. Yeah, it sure does. It sure does.
Okay. Well, on to Nicole Richie. As you know, she's pregnant.
Mm.
And
I got to tell you the site that didn't take off.
What?
Jew porn.
It didn't quite.
Zero traffic.
User-generated porn.
There was no traffic because there was no video.
Nothing. Bad. Horrible idea. Worst investment
I
ever made.
Can I just tell you people have the wrong idea of the money shot? That's not what it really is.
Just a close up on a 20?
Just throwing money at a girl. That's not money, John.
Inching a pillowcase of money off.
Wait, I'm getting turned on. Keep that coin sound going. A little more. Faster.
Oh. All right.
Nicole Richie, as you know, is pregnant.
Yeah.
She had a sit down with the folks at Access Hollywood.
Two-parter.
Yo, yeah.
Two-part.
One's not enough.
No, not with her vast accomplishments.
Talk about people who don't have jobs. I'm so jealous of her, but I can't hate her because she's charming.
I announced to my wife shortly before she then announced, do you ever stop complaining? And I explained to her that this was barely a complaint, but I could get started if you want to prompt me. I said, it must be so nice. Are you going to play the tape?
Let's play a little bit.
Play the tape and just listen to this.
There's a few things I want to play. First, here she is talking about taking a pregnancy test.
I was in such shock. I took about 5 different tests. And then I made my best friend take a test because I knew she wasn't. And then I compared them.
Okay. Yeah. Now, here's what I want to say. You know, I'm constantly trying to get out of work. Just dig on this vibe. I don't get to get interviewed. If I do Letterman, I have to do 10 minutes of sit-down comedy. I have to dance my ass off. There's no such thing as me sitting down on Kimmel's show or Leno's show or Letterman's show or anyone's show and having them go, hey, Adam, I hear you're really into cars. And I go, yeah, I got a 67 Lambo 400 GT 2+2 I got on eBay. It's awesome. It's red. It's cool. You should check it out. One of my friends told me I should check it out. So I checked it out. And it was, you know, wasn't cheap, but, you know, wasn't that expensive.
Huh.
I don't get to do that.
No.
I don't get to do that. And when they say, hey, was it awkward for you being tall in high school? I don't go, yeah. I mean, it was cool. I mean, I wasn't that much taller than other people, but I guess I was a little taller than most of the other guys. But I had a lot of friends. It was awesome. I don't get to do that.
No,
what I get to do and what Danny gets to do and what Teresa gets to do is we get to think for a month in advance. What are we going to say? Then we're going to write down some jokes. And then
we're going to run it by our friends.
We're going to run it by our friends. And then on the flight over, we're going to tweak it just a little bit more. And when he asked one question that is one syllable long, we will then talk for 45 minutes straight until veins bulge in our neck and we eventually die of an aneurysm. She gets to sit there and answer. Now, here's why I'm jealous. Normally, if you just want to sit there and answer, well, then you have to earn that right. You know what you have to be? You have to be the farmer who cut his own arm off with a buck knife when it got sucked into the plow.
Ow, my
That's nuts. The guy who
Careful.
Gets to Very sit nice. And answer. Or you get to be Tom Brady. You got 3 Super Bowl rings and you're on your way to record-breaking season. You get to sit and answer, or you climbed Mount Everest, or you came up with a cure for cancer, or.
Right.
What you don't normally get to do is nothing and to sit and
talk
answer.
About it.
Not two right. parts. Two parts.
A two-parter of nothing.
Now, I will give you the one excuse, the one thing that will bypass all of what I've just said. You can be smoking hot. You can be piping, smoking hot.
That's what gets
me
by.
And then you can be like Danny. You don't have to do the interview where you dance for the man, and you don't have to have climbed Mount Everest. You are super smoking hot, which makes you sort of a Cindy Crawford where you just get to sit there and talk again. I ask you to challenge yourself to find out which category Nicole Richie falls into.
Hmm. Is that a real challenge? Because it doesn't take much time.
No, it's a rhetorical challenge.
Okay, good.
None. But a two-part interview about what?
Well, here she is
that
discussing.
She held her friend's urine on a stick.
Here she is discussing that.
Worst
she...
place at the food court, by the way. The
a
worst.
Urine on a stick.
And the hats they made
never
those chicks
gonna,
wear.
Oh, urine on a stick. Never going there again.
Very acidic. Here she is discussing her baby's father, Joel Madden, and they both have tattoos.
I think that whether we have a boy or a girl, they're going to be so embarrassed of Joel's tattoos and my tattoos because I have 9. Because, you know, you never want to be like your parents. I really think that they're going to be embarrassed because he's their dad. So I have a feeling that they just won't get them. At least that's what, you know, I hope so.
Oh, must be nice.
Can you imagine the audacity of Nicole Richie thinking the kids are only going to be embarrassed about her tattoos?
Well, there's another category of people who get to be interviewed for not doing anything, and that's the children of famous people. And isn't that really where she falls? Here she is discussing how her dad, Lionel Richie, feels about the baby.
It's all he talks about, actually. And, I mean, of course, a father's first reaction, he was quiet and didn't really know what to think. And I just said, okay, so that's the news, and call me tomorrow. Because, you know, I like to give him a day whenever I give him news. So he called me the next day, and he was so excited, and now he just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
See, look, can't you just say he's dancing on the ceiling?
Be done with it, yeah.
Just crack a line, do something. He's a lot of people want to know where I got these earrings. And I went down to Kitson, where all the good parents go, and one of them's a clamp on. Anyway.
I was once.
They're cool. Some of my friends like them. Could you imagine?
I cannot imagine.
I had to dance.
I was yelling. Here's why I started complaining with my wife. I said, if I'm doing a show or an interview or something, I have to think about it during the course of the day. I have to go, here's what I'm going to say. I know he's going to bring this up. I should bring that up. Maybe I should make a note. Where's a piece of paper? I should write something down. It should be something funny. What? Imagine the life impunity where you just get to walk through. Yeah, I'm going to sit down with Billy Bush for a two-parter.
What
if he asks you about being pregnant or talking to your dad? Well, it's no different than me talking to one of my girlfriends sitting across the lunch counter. No big deal.
The only difference between exactly what I do and what you say that we all do is I don't have to think about a month in advance what I'm going to say because no one's asked me a new question in 30 friggin' years. Okay, not one new question.
What was it like working with Susan Day?
Yeah. Did you ever want to get with Susan Day?
Yeah.
Okay, I was 10, man. There's laws against that.
Two parts.
Then I make the Reuben touched me joke.
Right.
Then we do the transvestite bit. Then we do the drugs. And now you've thrown a bit of a monkey wrench.
Oh, yeah.
Now there's the Adam Carolla question.
You have a new show.
Yeah, but that's an easy one, too.
Oh, sad. Nicole Richie, I'm so jealous.
Me too.
Yeah, you don't have to do a thing.
Not a thing.
Well, here's something that everyone can agree on. We all of Americans, we all love McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Man, woman, or perhaps you're in between, like a group of McDonald's-loving he-she's in Memphis, Tennessee. On Sunday night, a car of three of them, all fully dressed as women, pulled up to a McDonald's in Memphis and got into an argument with the employee who was working the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
That guy said, men trying to look like women, drag queens, transvestites is what they were. They come to the window, tap, 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 I'm ignoring them. I guess that just pissed them off worser.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's a quote. So the three he-she's threw the car in park, ran into the restaurant swinging a tire iron.
Really? They have tire irons these days?
Yeah, they still have them. They started attacking the crew. But the staff says the he-she's didn't start fighting until they'd kicked off their stilettos and taken off their hoop earrings. Mm-hmm. At one point, the manager grabbed a pot of hot fry grease.
I was going to say.
Threw it right at the three he-she's.
Wow.
And then one retaliated by grabbing one of those plastic wet floor signs and hitting the manager in the head with it, which sent him to the hospital. The trainees took off without any money, food, or anything and smashed the drive-thru window on their way out. Took a few days, but the police actually tracked down the he-she's.
How hard can it be to find a bunch of transvestites in Memphis?
Trail of tears, mascara, and fry grease. Yeah,
they just followed that. And now, I don't know if you guys are in the Christmas spirit yet.
I worked at the McDonald's in Studio City for about 6 months, about 1,000 years ago. That would have been the best day of my life. Because all the Ace Man was doing was sweeps and mops of the dining area. And if a couple of trannies, Lavoris, Queen of the Desert, came running in there and the hoops started flying, I would have just taken a seat, pulled up some McNuggets, and enjoyed the show. Well, that would have been awesome.
Hey, look, those women have McNuggets of their own. That's weird.
I beat up some guys at a McDonald's when I was working there.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, they were kids. I was a kid, though, so it didn't matter. Huh. I was
take the Happy Meal toy? What'd you do?
I was 16. I was out doing a sweep and a mop, wearing the shoes I wore for the 9th grade graduation, spending my summer out there in the heat, and some snot-nosed rich kids came by on their new skateboards, and they started goating me. they started, they're calling me out. It was like I was like Barry Bonds out in right field on an away game, you know? And I started getting, hey, you missed a spot. Hey, my boy. Hey, you got some of my garbage over there? Pick it up. And they were going by on their skateboards, and they kept doing circles. What they would do is they would come at me, and then they would turn. Right. And they would come at me, and they would turn. And they were on their skateboards, and just some snot-nosed punks who lived up in the hills over there in Studio City. And I was just a poor guy from the flatlands of North Hollywood.
South
and they
of
kept,
the Boulevard.
Yes, and they kept getting more and bolder and bolder. And they kept getting closer and closer. And they must, I was like 16, but I was playing football and stuff. And they're probably 13 or 14. They're probably in the 8th or 9th grade. And they kept doing the circle. And I was timing it, though. And I was just looking down at that mop. And I was timing. And they're going, hey, Brillohead, you missed a spot. And they would all start laughing. And what they were doing is they were encouraging each other. And they were each getting bolder and bolder and closer and closer. And I timed it. So that when the guy took like two pedals, two skateboard pushes right. toward me, but when he got past the point of no return, I was just standing there. I was just mopping. I was just looking down at like a puma. Like a puma I sprang. He took two pedals. Wow. I was looking at him out of the corner of my eye. I dropped the thing. I took that kid. I gave him a forearm shiver and threw him on the hood of a Buick. And just, I didn't strangle him. I didn't beat him. I just threw him onto this car hood and scared the bejesus out of him. And it was one of these things where it's like anything where you think you're safe. You think you're the right distance. Right. You think you're fine. You don't think that cat can get you from that. Soon as that, first thing you do is slip, by the way, when the cat makes its move. First thing he did was slip off the skateboard. Right. And the next thing he did was go sailing under the hood of a car in the parking lot.
I'm assuming was panic stricken.
Oh, he was terrorized. That all I wanted to do was terrorize him. I didn't want to hurt him, but it was still very gratifying.
He had it coming.
In front of his friends, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's what makes it great.
Yes.
I told that guy at the, that Fashion Island or whatever, that, some lady mistook me for Chuck Norris, which happens every day for some reason.
Really?
Every day. At least once a day. And he came up to me and he hugged me and he said, I love you, Chuck Norris, thinking he was funny. And I hugged him back, but I wouldn't let him go. And I whispered in his ear, what are you doing now? All your friends are watching and you were supposed to be tough. And you just saw him just go, oh, my God, this is a real thing. When you hurled that kid on the front of the car,
yes.
And he knew the answer is get killed to keep my reputation. Mm-hmm. Or run away in front of my friends. Those are two terrible options.
He chose to attempt to skate away, but he never made it. Hey, T.
Yep.
Is that the news?
Yes.
I know there was a McDonald's story.
There was a, yeah. Well, look, you got the idea.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Here's the thing. Once you're never an ex-McDonald's employee. You're always a McDonald's employee.
Do you bleed the brown and red and yellow?
I do the hickory sauce, the dipping sauce, and when I that's what I bleed. And once in a while, I'll wake up in a cold sweat and I'll yell, cheese count on max, please.
You never forget.
And Mala will yell, cheese three, please. And I'll yell, burgers up, wrap, please.
It's basically your Hannah Hilton.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Once you're in country, you never fully get out. All right, we're taking ourselves a break. When we come back... Let's see. I got some more CNN junk to play you guys, and I'll talk to you about that next.
Hi, it's Sarah Silverman. Hi. God, I hate my voice. Hi, it's Sarah. Hi. Whatever. Hi, it's Sarah Silverman. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. I don't know why. That's something you need to look deep into your soul to find out.
Good times, baby girl. Hey, Bald Brian. Two quick things to get to. First, I just want to replay my CNN clip from yesterday. Shocking to see this yesterday at 5:05 in the a.m.
An elderly man goes in for brain surgery only to have doctors operate on the wrong side of his head. And this is not the first time it's happened or even the second.
She was really insane.
Yeah, I would be.
May have been her grandparent. I don't know that she's a live wire.
She should try not to editorialize, you know, as a news person.
I just stick to the prompter, baby.
Oh.
All right.
Did she retain her job after...
Yeah,
no,
nah, didn't even say a word. No retraction, nothing. All right, now speaking of investigative reporting, I've been sitting here watching Danny eat for about the last 4 hours.
Yep.
And I've done a tally.
Yes.
Danny, you have done two grandmother's oatmeal and raisin cookies.
Two packages.
Oh, you did two packages.
Oh, no.
Not so, just the two cookies.
No, four cookies.
Double it down.
Four
Adam.
Cookies. Oh, my God. I've got to crunch some numbers.
Oh, no.
They're 180 calories a cookie.
And you right. had four.
And there's 16 grams of sugar per cookie. Bald Brian, you're going to have to help me now.
Wow.
All right, with that one. Then you did the protein drink. Now, the protein drink is 250 calories and 28 grams of sugar.
Right.
Then you did a Coke. That's 155 calorically.
We got a little problem.
And 39 sugar. What's that?
It's not my Coke. Oh. It's been sitting there all day.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll deduct the Coke, but now with the cookies, it's
yeah,
into
so
the
got, yeah.
thing. Never drink. That's not your Coke.
No.
Huh. What the hell's it doing there?
It's been sitting there all morning.
God, I love radio. You did do a Red Bull Tall Boy.
Yep.
160 calorically, 39 grams of sugar. Now I have to crunch some numbers.
Are we missing anything?
Are we missing? Oh, five handfuls of cashew goline out in the hallway.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are over 1,000 calories and somewhere around 180 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
Now, how does that work? And the last time we talked about lean cuts of poultry and chaining the refrigerator. You have 2% body fat. I know you work out a lot, but how? How does that work?
According to, I have a scale at home that not only measures your weight and your body fat, but at the rate, the age of a person whose metabolism you would equate to.
Right.
I metabolize food at the rate of a 12-year-old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, so you don't need a chain on your refrigerator.
No,
you can
but
eat whatever.
It depends. I can also calculate my workout in what I'm going to do that day, and it will tell me how many calories I can ingest to stay even.
Mm-hmm.
Today, according to this morning's calculations, I can eat 4,800 calories.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
But I will today do two body parts on free weights. Mm-hmm. I will box 6 rounds, jump ropes 6 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly run home from the gym, which is exactly a 5K.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Do you smoke while you run ever?
Outside?
Yeah.
Only at red lights.
If you're running home, do you ever light up at the red light? Seriously.
Okay, now wait. I will tell you when I light up when I shouldn't, so this is weird because I got to think about it. I light up at every red light on my motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
I light up in bad traffic on my motorcycle, but it's a bitch because it's hard to go slow with no hands.
Right.
At high speed, you can ride a motorcycle forever with no hands.
Yes.
But when it's slow enough to light a lighter, it's really hard to keep a Harley Davidson up. You really have to want that cigarette.
Right.
But jogging outdoors, no, I don't stop to light a cigarette. On my treadmill, I smoke.
No.
Yeah.
You
I don't smoke on my elliptical. Because I'm using both my hands.
Yeah. Although, if you did two cigarettes, I think we're going to work it out.
I never thought of that. Because I never got the hang of being the kind of smoker who can have a cigarette dangle from their lip. It goes into my nose and into my eye.
It looks cool, but it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So, metabolism of a 12-year-old, lungs of an 85-year-old, coal miner.
You know what?
Annie Bonaducci.
Collectively, that makes me my age.
Yeah. You're right in the middle. Oh, I wish I had that metabolism. We'll take ourselves a break, come back to wrap it up next. Good times. Want to give some thanks where thanks are due. Eric Stromer, Over Your Head, on every day, all the time on HGTV. Lee Majors, $6 Million Man. You can call 877-53. Get it. Go to Vegas. Hang out for free with the Majors Man. David Allen Greer, my main man.
Always funny.
Teresa! She's a real killer piece of meat! Ontario Improv, Thursday through Sunday, Andy Dick. Open book, Andy Dick. Danny Rohn, first-time director.
I want my son to have a big penis, and I want him to be good in bed.
Out on DVD as we speak, and of course, our own Teresa Strasser, TMZ. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. I've nailed Cindy Crawford every way to Sunday. Bust out the gerbil.